much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Just testing this out. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. All right, I'm done.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It opens up your brain. It's just your cells works better. You eat better. You listen better. You do sex better. You work better. You design cut better. You massage better. You drive better. You are all together better.
The fact is, the chief ingredient in marijuana is THC, a mild form of acid, prolonged usage of which can cause adverse effects to your sexual potency, short-term memory loss, and can also severely damage your brain tissue, central nervous system, and basic motor skills. To put it simply, Mom and Dad, there's a reason that they call it dope.
I make average about $20 to $30.
And what do you use that $20 to $30 on?
Weed.
The point I'm trying to make with all of this, people, is that I hate drugs. I hate them. And based upon what I have seen, you all don't quite hate them as much as I do.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Nice beaver.
Don't bogart that joint. My friend, pass it over to me.
Boston, hello.
Roll another one.
Hello, I'm Keanu Reeves.
Just like the other one.
Whoa.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Expand on that.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time
Let's
to shine.
Let's shine.
I don't think you guys know, man.
Roll another one.
What if we rape Kevin?
Just like the other one.
Oh, that's fine.
This one seems to be about to end.
It's bullshit, man.
I don't have another cent.
Are we prepared to let the Kevins of the world decide anything for us? Anything at all?
But don't bogart that joint.
Yeah, I wouldn't broadcast that.
Just pass it around.
Come on, why you want to play a brother like that?
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Abbotsford, British Columbia, hello.
But just pass it on down.
And now.
Marijuana, marijuana, hey, 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 get high.
Our feature presentation.
Why does the dumb guy in the office have to be named Kevin? That's what we ask ourselves every morning when we come to work.
That's the kind of a day it's going to be.
Thank you. Good night.
Nice.
Be here all week. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's 5:33.
Look, I understand why you'd expose yourself to the passenger sitting next to you on an airline flight. I get that. All right, we all get the thrill of that. That who hasn't?
Sure.
Who hasn't done that? Who hasn't dropped pants when you're sitting next to a hot chick on a plane? I understand that. But then when she protests, you hit her in the face.
Yeah, that seems just like a step that might be too far.
Yeah, that's just rude at that point.
Well, you're certainly not going to get whatever it was you wanted. I'll tell you
that. Yeah, exactly. You're basically begging for the plane to turn around and go back to Oakland, as had to do yesterday. And then, before you're able to be contained, then you get up and take off all your clothes and lay down in the aisle completely naked, stomping your feet. I mean, nobody's gonna look at you and go, that guy's got it going on.
I think we just crossed the line.
Yeah.
Was he drunk? Was he high? What was going on?
I've not heard.
I would guess both.
Yeah,
I don't know why,
like.
But yeah, he... Yeah, that all happened in that order, and it was really just bizarre when you think he didn't start taking off his clothes until they tried to subdue him.
Right.
And then exactly. He had to get him off right now.
Now, here's the question I have for you, Kevin. Knowing what a pain in the butt it would be to be on a plane, have it take off, then have to turn around and go back to where you came from, would you still say yes, sign me up for that if you could be on the flight when that happened?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see that.
Kevin would,
that
of course.
Sounds awesome. Seeing the flight attendants trying to hold the guy down while he's trying desperately just to take off his pants or his shirt. That's awesome.
That's a good story for life.
That's my people right there.
Yeah.
And how about the woman he was sitting next to? What does she say when she lands, when she gets picked up at the airport? You're not going to believe what happened to me. I know weird stuff. I know, let's face it, flying can be stressful, but wait till you hear this.
And then her friend will go, me too, that happened to me too. What did he look like? Same guy. Wow. Good times.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
Sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, clearly, since the phones are packed, you know it's the last day for us to give away tickets to the Epicenter 09 concert presented by Rogue. That's going to be tomorrow at the Pomona Fairplex. A phenomenal bill. Linkin Park, Tool, Alice in Chains, Wolfmother, Hollywood Undead, Atreyu. That's just the main stage. Psycho Mike is going to be out there all day long, by the way. I guess they're going to be broadcasting virtually the whole concert. I don't think Tool signed off, but everybody else is allowing the thing to be streamed through kevinandbean.com. And Mike, you're going to be doing interviews with all the bands too, right?
Yep. Yeah, everybody except Tool, looks like.
Good times.
Tool is so aptly named, aren't they?
Yeah. That's probably good. That's probably good.
You think?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a lot of times Maynard not really in the mood to talk. And right. If you try to interview him, it doesn't go all that well.
Yeah.
We've talked to him many times, and over half, I'd say, right, Bean? He was great and fine and in the mood. But if he's not in the mood...
He's really not in the
mood.
You're
screwed.
Especially.
You got to get him on the right day.
Right before he's about to go on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that probably is a bad... Because there's a difference between someone who's shy and not a good interview mm-hmm. and someone who actively tries to destroy the interview, which is what he'll do. And that could be bad.
Like Billy Bob Thornton type.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's bad.
And by the way, you got to put Rivers Cuomo in that same category of guys who can be terrific and engaging and friendly and outgoing. And then other times they can just shut down and not want to have anything to do with you. And it's a roll of the dice.
Is he the one that told us that the new CD was shiny?
He's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
Rivers Cuomo from Walk the Line, right?
From Walk the Line. We were interviewing him and we said, hey, tell us about the new CD. What's it like? And he just thought for a second and went, shiny?
That is helpful.
And we said,
hard to argue.
All right. Have a good one. All right. Let's go to, let's start with Joanna this morning. Hi, Joanna.
Hey, what did your nephew, what did your baby do?
What did it do?
Hey, guys. So, as I'm driving to work, I'm going about 85 on the slow lane. Like Mike said, if you go 85 in the slowly, you won't get a ticket. So, I get pulled over by a cop.
Okay.
And as he's telling me, hey, you know what, you're going to get a ticket for speeding going 85, this car next to me passes by going 120, driving that fast, and there's a police officer in back of the car trying to stop him. And the guy or girl wouldn't stop, so the guy's like, today's your lucky day. You're getting off with the warning. Goodbye. And
you
just
wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so lucky because I guess last month I got a ticket and I had to pay $372. And I was like, wow, I'm glad I didn't get a ticket today.
Well, you certainly learned from last month's ticket.
You did. That was good to see. Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I want to hear the part again about how you thought you wouldn't get a ticket going 85 in the slow lane. What do you mean by that?
Well, I remember, I think it was last one when Mike said if you go in the slow lane driving by 80 or 85, you won't get pulled over because if you're driving around like 5 o'clock in the morning, it won't happen.
Huh, I don't remember that.
I argued that, by the way.
I said the fast lane, by the way. Not
the slow
lane.
Definitely not the slow lane.
The slow lane.
Okay, well, my bad.
Well, you're bad on a lot of levels. You may just want to slow the F down is what my advice is to you, particularly if you can't afford another ticket.
Exactly. Yeah, that's too much for a ticket.
Joanne, I was driving through Phoenix one time and got pulled over, and there I heard on the cops radio that there was a robbery going on at a store that was a half a mile away.
Yeah,
and I was like, yes, this is so great. This guy's gonna have just like you. This guy's gonna have to leave. Nope. Sat there and wrote me a ticket.
Wow, he hated you.
Yeah, some dude robbing a store. He could have cared less. He wanted to write me that ticket.
Okay. Oh my.
That hurts. So congratulations to you.
All right. Let's talk to Buck. Buck is on line six, calling about a topic I'm very interested in. Hi, Buck. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
What'd it do? I want to talk about 2012. What do you guys think?
Well, can you expand on that?
Well, December 21st, 2012, we're supposed to be at the end of the Mayan calendar.
I think that's likely. I think seriously, you should just start spending at this point.
Pretty much.
Are we talking about end of the world stuff?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at. I mean, it's supposed to be the end of a cycle. It doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world, but it's supposed to be the end of a change. Like, something big is supposed to happen, something drastic.
So okay, but
look, the Mayans couldn't even sustain their civilization, so why are we honoring their calendar like this?
Buck, let me ask you this. Remember when the world was going to end on December 31st, 1999 at midnight that night? Remember that was going to be it? It was going to be the end of civilization?
Sure.
Yeah.
That happened, by the way. That's science. Oh, wait.
How about the big movie that's coming out, though? I mean...
Well, which are you referring to? The movie or the actual incident?
No, there's a big movie coming out.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of big movies coming out. You got to give us some context in your remarks.
You're a bad conversationalist.
Well, you know...
That's true. Big movie?
It's a big movie. It's a big movie that's coming out, and you know it's a big deal. If you check the internet,
how can we move on now? The big movie coming out is 2012. It's about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah.
All right. You never made that connection for the people listening. No one knew you were talking about 2012.
Big actors,
still,
John Cusack's going to be in it. The girl from Nine Yards, Amanda Peet. Okay, she's going to be in it too. I don't really even care about the actors, but it's a big movie. It's you know.
What do you want us to think about it?
I want to talk to Buck all day.
it's something pretty serious.
I mean, yeah,
we're talking about you know, these claims have been made since time.
They have been made since time.
Yeah,
I mean that's hard to argue.
Yeah.
Hey, Buck.
Trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table.
Thank you for the call.
That was amazing.
I love that guy. It's going to, you know, it's going to be a big movie.
It's a big deal.
Let's get an early review from Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you go to a midnight showing of this movie, or did you see it in a preview?
No, I went to the midnight showing, and I'm going to dare say it's probably one of the best movies I've seen all summer.
Inglourious Basterds. Wow.
Oh, no kidding.
Incredible. And there's something for everybody. I wouldn't take grandma to go see it, but it's not just exploding Nazi movies. So it's good.
Yeah.
Very cool.
I took grandma to see The Hangover. That may have been a bad move on my part.
I'm going to say that Quentin Tarantino is a brand name that can be trusted. He has never made a bad movie.
He's outdone himself with it.
Awesome. That's great. So happy to hear that.
That's fantastic. All right. Thank you for the call. Midnight screening, and she's up at this time of the morning giving us a call.
She's committed.
Hardcore.
Let's see. Do we have time for one more or no?
Yeah, let's take Krista real quick.
Krista.
Line 4.
Hi, Krista.
Hey, guys. What it do?
What it do?
Hi.
Hey, so my husband and I, we just had a baby about 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And since we've had the baby, we've had, like, sex maybe once a month.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out what it is that I can do to spice it up or, you know,
get
something going. I don't know what I'm doing. Nothing's really changed except, you know, obviously we have the baby and...
Right.
You know.
Well, he should get a girlfriend is my advice.
Oh!
I don't know. Maybe he's got one.
That would spice it up.
That could be it.
Well, maybe if he has one, maybe he should just bring her over.
That's true.
Have you talked to him?
Yeah, I've talked to him. You know, he's just tired. He's, you know, he works in law enforcement, so we have pretty much opposite schedules. I don't know. Maybe. I just don't know what I should do.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too delicate here, but for him, is it like throwing a tennis ball in a gymnasium?
Oh,
I don't think so. Maybe that's why I'm asking you guys. What can I do?
Well, Kevin,
Psycho Mike, will you please have sex with Krista and get back to us and let us know what the deal is there?
What
would you do that for us?
What good is my light switch going to do?
That won't help.
Ralph in or something, or Thicky over here.
Throwing a hot dog down a hallway. That won't help.
Krista, we appreciate that you had the confidence in us to call us and ask this question, but we are all supremely unqualified to answer it. I apologize. We're going to have to leave you hanging.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Good luck, though.
You got a great date. You and your husband tomorrow will have a fantastic time if you can get a sitter going to see the concert, all right?
I already put her on hold. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Can you be addicted to video games? Especially ones like World of Warcraft.
Sure seems like it.
We have a doctor on the phone today who's going to claim that is a real problem.
Yeah.
I think video games are one facet of the internet addiction where people have a better and more exciting and fulfilling online life than they do real life life.
Oh,
and I
of
think
course,
that
yeah.
a lot of people fall into that trap.
Adam Carolla will be in the studio today.
And
this week in Rage. We are going to talk to Rainn Wilson today.
Oh, I love him.
Who's the best yes. in the office. We have a movie beat. Ralph will be here to tell us about movies.
Okay.
And James Cameron, a little director mm-hmm. you may have heard of, who's got the new movie Avatar coming out but later on this year. We're going to talk to him today.
Awesome.
That's kind of odd. I half expected him to cancel by the time we got in this morning. I don't know why.
By the time he figured out who we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take a look at the list and go, no thanks.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
He does seem like too much of a guest for this little dog and pony
right.
program.
Plus, B.J. Novak will talk about Inglourious Basterds just after 6 o'clock. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 5:54.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. Ralph is here with the Showbiz beat. What the hell's going on? You guys familiar with the CBF?
No.
The Celebrity Boxing Federation?
No.
No? Oh, yeah.
But I can't, is it new?
No, they've been around for a while.
Okay.
These are the people behind Celebrity Boxing.
Which I loved.
You know, but they're the ones that actually are, you know, they give you the belt.
Oh, I see.
I don't know what that means. No.
But Celebrity Boxing hasn't been on the air, it seems like, for years, right?
Doesn't mean it hasn't been going on, Bean. Just because it doesn't happen on your little television set doesn't mean it's not happening here in the real world.
It does
but
to Bean.
Wouldn't we hear about it if Manute Bol was fighting the fridge or something? I mean, those are the types of things that used to...
Well, I'm not
know.
Saying big celebrities have been fighting.
are these the people that are behind, like, Robert Shapiro v. Danny Bonaduce?
Exactly.
And, okay.
They encompass the whole entire world of Celebrity Boxing.
Okay.
From celebrities... Y to Z, they run the gamut. They've just announced their latest fight, which will be happening on September the 12th in Boothwyn, Pennsylvania.
That's where all the big fights
of,
happen.
Philadelphia. I didn't know this, but Celebrity Boxing originated in Philadelphia.
Yeah, what a surprise.
Not a big surprise.
All fighting began there.
Given its legendary status as a boxing town and as a place where people like to hit each other.
Yeah.
It's going to be Rodney King getting in the ring.
Oh.
Yeah, Rodney King versus a former Chester, Pennsylvania cop named Simon the Renegade Oad.
Okay, no.
See, it's Rodney King against the former cop.
Right.
Yeah. They're calling it the Battle for Justice in the Ring.
Oh, no.
Come on.
Why not bring that up again with Rodney King?
He's moved so you don't want justice for the black man. That's what you're saying, Bean.
No,
you don't want
Rodney
the black man
King
to get justice. I see how you are.
Is bigger than this, has forgiven the police for the incident, and
well,
has moved on. Why drag him back into it? Because he needs the $200?
That's right. Because you're keeping the black man down, and he needs to make a living.
After watching him on Celebrity Rehab.
Didn't you like him?
He's the most likable, just big teddy bear of a guy.
Let's go to Boothwyn in September and root him on. What do you say, Kevin?
Don't make him fight.
Let's
come
get
on.
In his corner. They're not making him fight. It's not Michael Vick here with a pit bull. The man made a choice.
I wonder why.
Cash.
He needs
the money.
Lisa.
It's cash.
It's very sad.
Jeez, I wonder why a guy would get into the boxing ring who's not a boxer for no good reason.
How much are they paying him?
I don't know. More than he's making now.
I guess.
Are they paying
sitting
him justice?
Sitting on his couch watching Tyra.
Yeah.
Plus, he's got a little bit of brain damage, too, I think.
Well, there's that.
We'll see. Well, then he's already ahead of the game when it comes to boxing.
How much damage can be done?
That's right. They asked Simon the Renegade Oad about King's famous statement, "Can't we all just get along?" His answer was simple. Simon says no.
Oh.
See, they can't all get along because that's not me. That's him.
That
they,
guy.
They can't get along. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you like it, you'll definitely like it.
All right. Thank that's you, Rodney. This is it.
Is it?
Is the title of the movie featuring Michael Jackson's rehearsal footage.
No way.
that they've been shopping around that Sony Pictures paid so much for in order to release into theaters.
This will be it. This is it.
This
when
is
I
it.
Say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This
I mean,
is it.
This is really it.
This is
the final. This is the final
it.
Curtain call. This is it. And when I say it. This is it, it really means this is
this
it.
This is it. Sony has announced yesterday that the film will only be in theaters for 2 weeks. It'll be released Wednesday, October the 28th. Advanced tickets will go on sale September the 27th. They will release ticket sales a month previous to the movie being in theaters.
A month.
You'll have only 2 weeks to see it.
And then when those sell out...
This is it.
They'll add a bunch
no,
more.
No, this is it. I'm telling you,
this like is they did
it.
With the concert.
That's what they did with the concert.
This is it.
That's what
this
he said it. Before the final it. 10 or whatever. And they sell out. Then they had more.
Speaking of Michael, Joe Jackson says Michael was supposed to be buried on his birthday, August the 29th. However, it's been postponed for 2 days to August the 31st will be the date they will put Michael into the ground. I guess they're waiting for him to thaw. Congratulations to Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
He's got two different women pregnant currently.
Yeah!
At the same time?
Yeah. Wow. Usually you see guys, you know, being, you know, generous with their seed.
Right.
But usually it's in succession, you know? It's not concurrent.
Yeah. Wow.
His girlfriend, Nivea, is pregnant with his baby. I love her lotion. She does good work.
She does.
And there's another actress named Lauren London, who apparently is also knocked up by Lil Wayne. So congratulations, Wayne. Those kids.
Seems bad.
Where's my dad, Lil? Travis Barker and Shauna Mochler, believe it or not, are arguing.
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah. Turns out that Travis isn't happy with the current child custody arrangements in their divorce and recently filed papers with the L.A. Superior Court to have a hearing to change all that. So we'll have to wait and see how things go. But those crazy kids.
Yeah.
That surprises me because he seems to have the kids on tour with Blink-182 right now. He's always talking about
maybe
all
that's
the stuff
what he's unhappy
doing
with
together.
Maybe he thinks, well, he wants you to take them back. Maybe that's what he's trying to get changed. I have two words as the solution for these crazy kids,
yes.
Travis and Shauna. Celebrity boxing.
Oh, there you go.
Nothing it can't cure. Today, celebrity birthdays. Actress Hayden Panettiere from Heroes is 20 years old today.
Sorry, Mike. She's getting a bell. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. Yeah, you just pipe down. Singer Kellis is 30. Alicia Witt from TV and movies, like Sybil. She was on that show for a long time. She's 34. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix. And Chocolat is 39. Serge Tankian.
Good hell.
From System of a Down celebrates his 42nd birthday. And Kim Cattrall, who legendarily, of course, plays Samantha in the Sex and the City TV series and movie, is 53 years old today. What do you call a cougar when she's beyond even cougardom?
I don't
think
know.
Of a new animal. I think she should be an ostrich.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Kevin, you saw something that you think is fascinating.
Well, on the attack of the show, they do Around the Net, and they did this a recap of a show that was on the PBS.
Mm-hmm.
It was a documentary on ferret owners. Describe a ferret for people that don't know, Bean.
Well, I mean, it looks like a squirrel or a weasel. I mean, it's just a
but
little furry animal.
I think they're kind of cute.
A lot of people really enjoy ferrets. They've never captured my imagination, but there are a lot of people. I think in some states still, including California, I think they're technically illegal to own, too.
Yep. Oh, is that right? Well, you can go to kevinandbean.com and look at, on our page, and you can see some of this video here. I got it from Attack of the Show because they played it. It's about ferret owners, and it's called Ferrets, the Pursuit of Excellence.
Okay.
And ferret owners are a step above normal pet parents. When we say pet parent, it's a little, I mean, it's an insult because they don't have kids most of the time, and so then they start treating their animals like kids, and then they start treating their animals as if they are children, and then they lose track somewhere of reality, and they just go spiraling right down into death. So this is a woman talking about her ferret, and she's talking about putting a lei on the ferret, and she puts a Batman cape on it, and they put these huge, wonderful hats on the little ferret. Oh, they love it. The ferrets love it.
Put the lei on first. Oh, look at that. Oh, darling, your marvelous look. Okay, why don't you throw a scruff on him?
Yeah, throw a scruff on.
Why are they doing this?
Because it's cute and the ferrets love it. That's
What's
why.
What's a scruff?
I think it's one of those like things that holds your hair, Lisa.
Okay. A scrunchie.
I think.
Okay.
But she's got another person there. They're both dressing up the ferret.
Oh, man.
And then the other woman describes what it is that makes ferret owners special.
I think ferret owners are different from other sorts of owners in that ferrets being so incredibly playful. It takes a playful person to really hook into that. Look at the shimmy. He's got the movement. He's got the motion.
Okay, here's my thing. Dogs aren't playful. Really? The ferrets are more playful than dogs? More playful?
Well,
all dogs do is play. That's it.
And sleep.
So she says, look at the motion, and it's because they're shaking the ferret with their hand. There's no motion coming from the ferret. It's dancing because the person holding it is moving it.
Poor ferret.
So you think, well, these poor people, they've never had kids. They don't understand, you know, so it's a little too important to them. This woman has had kids and has replaced them with ferrets.
For me, it seemed like as my children got older and grew up and moved out that I sort of replaced them with ferrets.
Yeah, so that happened.
Wow, those kids must be so happy to have left.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. Well, they got tired of getting dressed up and forced to dance.
Ferrets, the Pursuit of Excellence is the name of this, and she sings a little song.
And then with single-mindedness, she feathered up her nest. She lined it with my children's socks. She really liked them best.
Do you think her kids ever come home? Ever?
Never.
I mean, really? No. I don't want to go to crazy mom's house. The first clip was labeled Ferrets, the Pursuit of Excellence. The second clip, there's two clips up at the website, is labeled Dead Ferrets. Now, this is the part that caught my attention. Because apparently she's in a ferret club. She's a member of a club of people who...
Of course she is.
...have ferrets.
Yeah.
And she describes what they do with the ferrets when they inevitably pass away.
Mm-hmm.
How do they take care of them?
Because I have a big deep freeze, I end up collecting the dead ferrets of all the people in the club.
Okay, so they show this giant stand-up freezer. It looks like you could fit, like, I don't know, five people in it. Mm-hmm. It's a huge freezer. And everybody in the area and in the club that has a dead ferret brings the dead ferret over to this woman's house. And she puts it in her freezer.
She has a freezer full of dead ferrets.
Yes. How long?
Because we can get up to 25 pounds cremated for a good price. So we collect 25 pounds of dead ferret. And then after their ashes come back.
Okay, so she waits however long it is until she has 25 pounds of dead ferrets.
Oh, my God.
Because she wants the bulk discount for burying.
Yes. For cremation, yes. So then she brings back the ashes in a one jar.
Yeah.
And all of the people in the club who've donated their dead ferrets come over. And then they divvy out the ashes to them.
Well, you're not getting your ferret's ashes
then. How do you know?
Well, what are the chances that you're only going to get your ferret's ashes? You're getting everybody's ashes mixed together.
This is how she does it.
We kind of divvy them up and go, okay, here's two teaspoons for you. And let's see, you had two ferrets, so you get four teaspoons.
Oh yes. Are you kidding me? What a party that must be.
I don't understand this, because I thought the whole point of taking your animal in to get cremated, or grandma for that matter, is you want to have that person's remains back in a jar in an urn or something like that, so that because that's special to you, because it's that person.
That's what they're doing.
If it's just random neighborhood ferrets that you're getting back.
But you're getting a bulk price.
Well, you are saving a couple of ducks, that's true.
Here's the most shocking part of this story.
My husband thinks it's very, very weird.
She has a husband!
Oh my God.
Somebody married her!
I would have bet $1 million that man left long ago.
Oh, he's gone by now, I'm sure.
No, from AFI is going to be joining us on Monday morning show. And we're going to world premiere their brand new song, new AFI, on the Kevin and Bean Show Monday. Talk about a long, long wait for a great, great band. I can't wait to hear what that's going to sound like, but that'll be Monday right here.
I sure hope we're still employed. I hope Ralph still works here, and I hope, you know, everyone
Or I'll be working as a Sherper. Because of the lawsuits, you mean? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Tom Likas, who is a talk show host, a radio talk show host.
He had a national show. I don't know if he still has the national show or not. I know he's not on locally here in Los Angeles.
I don't think he does. I think once they pulled the plug on the Los Angeles one, he stopped doing the show altogether. So he's basically, as they say in the business, on the beach, not working anywhere, and wants to make sure that nobody else is, too, it sounds like.
Well, there was a dude doing a podcast, and it was called Fake Likas. That was the name of it. It had fake was the first word in the name.
That's confusing. Is it the real Likas?
So Tom Likas was going to sue him over trademark infringement. He had his lawyers contact the guy, and he said, take it down. Don't do this anymore. You're messing with my commerce. He used the word commerce. So,
all right, and he said it's not just for that guy.
Right, anyone.
Brian Whitman, who was performing, he said, this is a message to anyone who pretends to be me.
Okay, this is what I want to ask you about, Ralph, because Ralph, of course, as most of our listeners know, is the genius voice guy of the Kevin and Bean Show. Most of the time, if you hear a voice on the program,
it's just with the genius.
What is the what are the rules on that? Because some stuff is protected by parody. You can go on and be Barack Obama. No one can sue us because you're clearly parodying the real Barack Obama. But what's different about this?
I think it's because Brian Whitman, who's the guy in question, actually set up a podcast website that I think you had to subscribe to.
Oh, money.
Yeah, I think it came down to money.
Yeah, I see.
I see. All
and right. And so Tom apparently didn't care for that because someone was making money off of his name. He says he's got Lycus, his last name, copywritten.
Right.
Copyrighted.
Sure.
And also Lycus 101, which was a bit he used to do on his show.
Okay.
Okay.
And something else, too.
Now, Ralph, correct me if I'm wrong, but you do a lot of impressions, and this is one of them. You've probably done Tom Lycus, an impression of him, I don't know, 50 times.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No,
it
you
depends
have.
Depends on...
You have, I remember.
If
I
you're mean, a lawyer and who's asking.
You have. You've done it.
I'm not sure.
We have a lot of tape. I mean, I can find the tape.
You may have someone who does that voice on your show,
yes.
But I can't say definitively whether it's me or not.
You know how you walk in the room and then you walk past the microphone?
No.
And you don't?
No, I'm not familiar
well,
with
it's,
that.
Well, it's interesting that you would be backing off from this now, Ralph, because what if I were to tell you that we have a special guest who may or may not be Lycus on the phone right now on the Kevin Bean Show, who's calling in as a result of this conversation. Good morning, Tom.
Hello!
Tom?
Kevin and Bean, and Guy impersonates me.
Okay, see, now I'm confused with all this talk. Is this
really?
The real Tom Lycus, or are you just somebody doing an impression of Tom?
Do you care? Didn't
well,
think so.
In this case, if you're going to sue... we do have a guy here on the show, and we'd like to offer him up for you. His name is Ralph Garman. And
oh, yeah. I'm familiar with this guy.
Yeah, and if you'd like to sue him, that's cool.
Pretends like he doesn't have a voice of me.
Right.
Yeah, he's interfering with my commerce.
That's right.
Have you heard Ralph's impression? Do you think it sounds anything like you?
He sounds nothing like me whatsoever.
Well, then I guess...
Well, I'm sorry, Tom. I do the best I can. I don't mean to, you know...
No, but isn't that good, Ralph? Because now he's got nothing to sue over.
That's true. If I don't sound anything like him, right. Then maybe he can't sue me.
Yeah, that's best
but
case scenario.
But you're interfering with my commerce.
How? If he doesn't sound like you, I don't understand.
Because.
What commerce? You're not employed anywhere.
I need money to buy wine.
Okay,
I love
but,
wine.
You do love wine. That's you do have a wine show.
Fidel.
But here's what I don't
God
understand.
A.
Okay,
it's
Tom.
Crack of the ass.
Right.
Attention whore.
What I don't understand is how it's impacting your commerce. A, as Kevin mentioned, you don't have a job. B, no one's confusing the Tom Lycus on our show with the real Tom Lycus.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty clear that it's not really you that's
really?
On our show.
Really?
Yes. Really, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how are people supposed to know it's not me on your show?
Well,
what if they mistake me for you?
But then what's going to happen? How are
yeah,
you?
How's that affecting your commerce, Tom, if it's just if I'm just doing a bit on the show?
I don't know.
You just felt
like it.
You just felt like this was a way to get some publicity, maybe, for a guy who's not on the air.
I'm so broke.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh.
I'm suing everybody.
But
I need some money. Just somebody give me some money.
But you have money.
I'm drinking wine out of a box, for
oh,
God's sake.
No.
Oh, that's
come
so
on,
sad.
For God's sake.
You do have enough money, though, for a lot of food.
Really?
I've noticed that.
Really?
You're not short on food.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll
yeah.
have you know I'm down to 475 pounds.
Is that...
I'm wasting away.
Well, Tom, I can send you $20 if that'll help at all.
Yes, that'll help.
Okay, and you won't sue Ralph then?
$20, I'll call the lawsuit.
What? You want to try that one again?
Answer the question.
Yes, I'll stop doing your voice.
Next half hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, it's The Week in Rage with Adam Carolla. There you go. That's what I was waiting for. Plus, can you be addicted to video games for reals? We'll talk to a doctor about that in just a few minutes. And later on in the show, the highly anticipated Avatar. It's the return of director James Cameron. He'll be joining us this morning on the Kevin Bean Show as well. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, can't wait for that Cameron interview. One of my favorite directors.
It seems like he's going to figure out that he's on our show and cancel. Between now.
Why?
Because why would he come on our show?
Because you remember your last interview with him?
No.
It was amazing. Here, just a little taste of the last time you guys interviewed James Cameron, legendary director, and I thought it was insightful. It was exciting. I think he was jazzed to be interviewed by you guys. You were asking questions no one had asked before. I think he did a good job.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Kevin at the top of his game.
Yeah!
Wow. Top of his game.
Wow.
Excuse me. Cameron's coming back.
What kind of bad editing are you using
that
to make me look
straight
bad?
Straight up.
Could I hear that again, please?
Absolutely.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
There's no faint praise from Kevin.
Wow. By the way, in Kevin's defense, back then, whatever year that was, he used to be able to put the person together with the movie. He can't even do that anymore.
That's true.
How am I employed?
He wasn't able to figure that out. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, kind of insightful dialogue that we get with Hollywood's biggest names here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Now I changed my mind. He's going to want to do our show.
I'll give you $20 if you start to get a view off by saying, so are you the guy who directed Avatar?
Nope.
Oh, no.
And he'll say, yeah. And you go, that's pretty interesting.
Wait, you'll give me $20?
$20.
All right. I'll do it.
Don't do it. Please don't do it, Kevin.
We need to start protecting our reputation at some point.
I can only hear $20. If there's a higher number on the way, I'll do whatever. But I'm saying $20 says I'm doing it.
So Kevin is saying he'll take a counter offer from you, Bean, if you want him not to do it.
Bean's too cheap, so.
That's right. You know he's never going to go to 21. Oh, we got troubles.
What?
Lou Ferrigno is mad.
Uh-oh.
And you do not want to see him when he's angry.
That's true.
You don't. I remember that from that show. Oh, wait, that was Bill Bixby. Never mind. Apparently, he was flabbergasted, in his words, when the list of dancing contestants on Dancing with the Stars was read on Monday, and his name was not on it.
Did they
what?
Cancel his appearance or something? Or?
Well, according to his manager slash wife, Carla, the producers told us he would have made an excellent contestant. When you compare him to some of the so-called celebrities they just picked up, it doesn't make any sense at all. The producers never even had the class to give Lou a call and tell him that he was not going to be chosen. Lou is an American icon.
Easy.
So apparently they had conversations with the producers. They said it was a great idea. So the 57-year-old bodybuilder, former TV Hulk, was expecting to be on that list when they read it. And
he should have been.
He was very upset when he found out that he wasn't.
Wow.
I was upset, too.
Tom DeLay, by the way, is on the list. Yeah. Lou Ferrigno not.
Exactly.
Maybe this year it's for people who can hear.
Oh.
Exclusively.
Wow. That's Kevin, Lou.
That's Bean at krock.com.
Kevin. Are you the guy who played the Hulk on TV?
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Hayden Panettiere. says she doesn't wear any clothing when she's at her house.
All right.
Oh, she has a habit of walking naked all the time when she is home.
Okay, explain the pink.
That's a great habit. I think more people should do that.
And she said her roommate is forced to see her nude all the time. I wonder if she's got a room that she could rent and I could live in part-time. She's a birthday girl today, turns 20, and doesn't like to wear clothing.
All right.
Girl, you got to keep your clothes on!
Oh, Dane. Amy Winehouse is back in London and reportedly back to her old tricks.
Oh, no. Really?
Photos this week show Amy out on a night of the town in London looking an absolute mess. For some reason, her T-shirt is soaked through wet.
Yeah.
Her finger is burnt, and she's got dirty fingernails and dirty hair.
Oh, God. I just threw up.
Her nose is apparently running.
Oh!
And for those who look closely, there seems to be dashes of some sort of white powder underneath her nose.
I wonder what that could be.
One source claims she couldn't stand up when she entered a local pub at 8:45 in the evening. She walked in the pub and was legless.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a quarter early. To nine.
That's usually like Omar style.
Yeah, but
quarter to nine.
He's quarter to three in the morning.
I don't know. You don't know.
All right.
Whitney Houston will be making her first comeback interview on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
I heard her comeback interview. She said crack is whack.
No, that wasn't her comeback. It was her first comeback interview. This is it.
Okay.
She, according to Oprah's website, will be the first guest when Oprah's 24th season launches on September the 14th.
It's been a long comeback. Wasn't it like a year ago that she was starting to work on a new album?
She went back in the studio about a year ago.
She's not exactly coming back, I think, is the problem.
Whitney's new album, I Look to You, will be released on August the 31st.
Okay.
So just in a couple days, you'll be able to hear new Whitney Houston music. Or totally ignore new Whitney Houston music, which is what I choose to do. Oprah's calling it the most anticipated music interview of the decade. Screw you!
Take it easy.
Oh, man.
Really?
How do you like yourself some you, don't you, Oprah?
Oh, well, I'm out of time. I've got a great list here from Time Magazine of the 10 greatest electric guitar players of all time. It's a fascinating list.
Tom Morello, number one.
But we don't have time. We don't have time.
I'm going to poke you right in the eye.
We don't have time.
All right.
So we'll have to do it in the next hour. That'll give you something to come back for.
All right.
And you don't want to miss Kevin's interview with James Cameron.
Absolutely not.
Could I hear a clip of that again, please? I think I've forgotten it.
I don't for that.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
I don't know. This is like James Cameron's first movie, The Abyss. And it was like he wasn't like this unknown director. He had been around making big movies for quite some time by The Abyss.
You edited that from another interview.
That is absolutely just as it happened.
Ralph, are you more shocked that Mr. Cameron is coming back on or that Kevin is still working on the show?
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kenny Rogers. Yeah. Country music legend Kenny Rogers is 71 years old today. You couldn't pick him out of a lineup if someone put a gun to your head.
No.
He's had nothing like Kenny Rogers
anymore. Much plastic surgery. He was huge in the, 70s and 80s or something like that, country music. But you look at him now and you go, don't know who that is.
Nope. Kim Cattrall from Sex and the City is 53 years old today. I asked earlier, what do you call a cougar when she's too old to be a cougar?
Mm-hmm.
The answer that came back to me via many emails was saber-toothed tiger. That's what you call
it. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Serge Tankian, a System of a Down, is 42. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix turns 39. Alicia Witt is 34. And as I mentioned, Hayden Panettiere celebrates her birthday today. She is 20. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz. And now, a moment with Bean.
A lot of people who are into, you know, one sort of athletic sports, they're really into other ones, too. They, you know, they like to kind of do both.
That was A Moment with Beam.
How is this show still on the air?
I don't know.
I'm serious. That's not a rhetorical question. How is this show still on the air? Have you heard it? Come on. All right. Kevin DeBede program. Adam Carolla joins us in a few minutes. Also, the great director James Cameron will be on talking about Avatar. Right now, though, here's a fascinating subject. The World of Warcraft, as you know, is a very popular worldwide phenomenon. It's a video game that you play inside. And for many people, it has become an addiction. And that is exactly what our next guest is going to be talking about. Please welcome Dr. Richard Graham to the phone. He is a child and adolescent psychiatrist and clinical director of the Adolescent Directorate at the Tavistock Center in London. I can't imagine how big your business card must be with all that, Doctor, but thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
The World of Warcraft, for folks listening who may not be familiar with the game itself, can you explain briefly what that is, Doctor?
Well, I'm not sure I can, and of course this highlights one of the very real problems, really, that people like myself are on a very steep learning curve trying to understand what these massive multiplayer online games are and the worlds they create, which enable people around the world to play with each other in sort of exciting and fascinating worlds that are the stuff of imagination.
And people can get seriously addicted. How can you tell an addiction versus a guy who likes to play a video game all the time?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a sense of an altered balance in their life where the game, bit by bit, takes priority over any other activity. The number of hours playing increases gradually, and some young people have sort of been able to notice how parts of their lives, like attendance at school or in employment, diminishes as the amount of time in the game increases. And Blizzard with World of Warcraft give you a clock to measure that. So for some young people over the past 3 years, it may be 300 whole days they've been continuously playing in the game, although obviously broken up.
But you can leave it. That's one of those things you can leave it on, sort of, can't you? You don't have to sit there.
Yes, I believe you can. I think the world continues. I think there are pauses where the manufacturers sort of update with patches and other upgrades. But it does sort of exist as an alternative world that sometimes seems to be a bit like a fishbowl, that the person wants to go back and see what's going on in, which, again, is another facet to this addictive process.
Right.
Do you find, and I'm sure you've interviewed in your practice, Doctor, you've interviewed a lot of people who are heavily into World of Warcraft. Do you find that it's just more exciting and interesting than whatever their real life is, and that's why they prefer to spend the hours there instead of doing whatever the rest of us would be doing?
Well, you have the problem that because they're achieving sometimes considerable success and being applauded and praised within the game, they are accumulating prestige within the game, sometimes wealth that if you look to China can actually be converted into real cash, and there's quite an economy growing around that. such that, you know, when you step back into ordinary life, as one young person put it to me, he felt downgraded because his success was confined to the game. Wow. And that imbalance, of course, again, supports spending more time in the game.
What do you do to treat somebody who is spending too much time in World of Warcraft? How do you wean them off of it and help them find the proper balance in their life?
Well, I think it is quite a struggle. I think for younger adolescents that, you know, around 14, 15 years, we would definitely need to involve their parents and perhaps educators in helping them sort of do the things they need to be doing at that point of their lives. For older ones, I think drawing their attention to the real missed opportunities and potential for failure that they are risking by spending so much time in the game, and gradually, bit by bit, introducing them to the question of whether or not this is a problem.
But aren't most of those people going... Because really, the World of Warcraft is fascinating, but the people who donate their lives to it are really the king of the dorks. I mean, those people are gonna be failures anyway. Pretty much.
So at least it gives them something to do.
At least they can win somewhere.
They should come see you, Kevin, instead of the doctor. You put a nice positive spin on it.
No, but I mean, you know, you're not talking about Xbox or PlayStation or Guitar Hero or, you know, Madden. None of that stuff. This is the World of Warcraft, and they spend 16 hours a day. Take that away from these people.
But that doesn't mean they're
not
worth saving, though. I think what the doctor is saying is they need to work on having a more productive real life, is what he's saying.
And Kevin's saying they can't.
Right, I'm saying that will be met with failure.
Well, yes, of course there are many areas to succeed, and many of these players are extremely intelligent and may have the potential to outstrip us all in terms of success in their lives.
But really?
Dr. Graham, one of the most fascinating things that I read in the article that tipped us off to the work that you're doing in the UK there is that folks like you, and I don't know if you specifically, but people like you who have this concern about the World of Warcraft players are getting into the game and are trying to, in some ways, treat them or at least interact with these people in that environment during World of Warcraft. Is that true?
Well, this is a project in development. I mean, it isn't actually occurring at present, and unfortunately that article suggested rather more than is happening. The question is how to establish a credible presence within a game, because of course for someone who's playing it who wouldn't come and see me face to face might need an intervention or some sort of introduction to what we could offer and what we might be able to do for them.
So you as a
character in the game.
So you as a character in the game walk up to their character in the game and say, hey, shouldn't you be doing something else?
Yeah, I think so. I think there are ways of playing each other and using the voice protocols to actually speak as like with Skype to other players. But I think, I mean, where I would struggle is, of course, I think I would be completely useless in playing the game. So we're looking at people who would have a credible presence as game players.
Because these people would just say, Doctor, you're not good at this. I could...
Doctor, you go away, I think, would be more realistic.
Yeah, okay.
You're spoiling the game. So it's finding some way of interacting with the players that is, you know, acceptable to them, because I think if one does start with a sort of nerd or dork sort of judgment, of course, they won't interact and any progress
all right.
will be lost.
You have to hide last the question. Fact that that's true. Correct.
Last question for you, Doctor. It's not from... Not from your mouth, but the Sweden's Youth Care Foundation in this same article describes World of Warcraft as more addictive than crack cocaine. And I think that that is something that a lot of our listeners will remember hearing on the show today. Do you agree with that assessment? Is that true?
Certainly for some young people, it is extremely addictive. I mean, I don't know how you compare something like a stimulant drug like crack cocaine with a computer game, but it certainly has a huge, massive grip on the minds of some young people, and they really do place their futures and their health seriously at risk.
Let me squeeze in one call. Oh, shoot, the guy just left.
Yeah.
He said, most of us have full-time jobs and make extra money this way.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, I believe there are 500,000 people at least worldwide just gaming to generate income. I think you can, the rules have changed. I think you can live differently, earn money through the games, and still work within industry or education. But I'm talking about some people who will be playing for you know, 16 hours a day, and I think that is different from those that, and particularly older adults, do seem more able to let go and do other things.
Shouldn't you spend your time with people who you can help? he's trying to help, Kevin. I'm saying.
That is the question. Who can be helped? Yes. I think for another time.
Yeah, all right. Dr. Richard Graham, child and adolescent psychiatrist and clinical director at the place in Travestock Center, London. Clinical director of the Adolescent Directorate. Boy, that's tough to say. But, Doctor, we really very much appreciate your time on this fascinating subject today. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
Brand new Muse on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock. Muse's latest is called Uprising. Their new album will be in stores next month. If you are a Muse fan, as we are, Kevin Bean Show has very exciting details coming soon. We can't say anything right now, but very soon we'll have exciting Muse information for you. Hey, it's Adam Carolla in the studio here.
Bean
on the
loves
Kevin and Bean
himself.
Show.
Get it on!
Get it on,
Bean
indeed.
Bean loves Muse. For him, the rankings are Muse, Gordon Lightfoot,
yeah,
and one of the Andrews sisters. I'm not sure. She did a solo album in the 20s.
Muse is the only thing I have in common with Bean on that one, though. How's it going, Adam?
Good times. Yeah, get it on. What's happening?
AdamCarolla.com, of course, with two very popular podcasts, the regular interview show, and then, of course, the car podcast, which has just taken off like gangbusters. But usually when you come in, you got something on your mind, something that's annoying. You were going to do the Week in Rage in a few minutes, but what else are you interested in these days?
Well, on the way over, I was listening to the radio, not this station, but I heard a commercial, and I heard that OnStar commercial that I only seem to hear when I'm in my car.
Right.
Don't see it at home. I mean, I guess they plan it that way. But it's the actual recording from the OnStar where the guy goes, I've just hit a moose and I can't feel my legs. And it's weird when you're driving your car because you're looking out for moose now. Head's on a swivel, driving down Ventura Boulevard. Don't want to clip a moose. Got the kids in the car. And it's always like, I can't feel my legs. The car's turned over. I smell gasoline. And then the OnStar guy gets on and says, I'm staying with you. I'm here with you, man. We're going to wait with you. First off, I've never met an operator that nice. If you ever met someone, nope. Please hold, sir. Please hold.
All right, you're dead.
Wouldn't it be funny if the OnStar guy did the same thing that the cable guy, the electric guy, and the gas guy did? We'll see if we can get a paramedic out there, let's say Tuesday the 29th between 8 a.m. Make sure someone's in the destroyed carcass of your car. Make sure someone's home between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. All right? That would be the window. And also, wouldn't it be a great gig to be an OnStar operator? Like, it would be fun just to go like, sir, we've noticed your airbag is deployed. We also know she's been picking your nose quite a bit. You got an issue there?
I don't think you would last very long.
Who is that lady in the passenger seat? Because sure as hell didn't look like the wife. But tell you what, seemed quite a bit younger than you. Yeah, we're just up here in the satellite checking you out. So listen, and by the way, like I would work in, like if I was, I'd be the guy. Like, listen, okay, we're going to stay with you. I've called an ambulance. Paramedics are going. They're alert to your condition. But then you have a little time to kill us at
downtime,
point.
Yeah,
sure. So I'd be like, you know, it's funny. You go to the Starbucks, the guy gets you a cappuccino, and you give him $3. You know, they take a gratuity over there. But yet, I save your life. I save your life for nothing.
What do I get?
Don't get to wet my beak. You know what I mean? I mean, if we were Indians, you would have to save my life. And I'm just saying, here's all I'm going to do. I'm going to give you my home address. And I'm not saying write a check now. Obviously, your car, you're impaled, and your steering wheel, your car's halfway in a swamp. But after you mend it up, after you're back on your feet, if you ever walk again, and you feel like writing a check out, let me just give you my address.
I'm the guy.
Or just be funny, like the guy do, like, sir, we notice you're locked out of your car. Yes, we're in front of the restaurant. This is very embarrassing. Yeah. Boy, what would it be worth to you to get inside your car right now? I mean, obviously, if you call AAA, waiting around an hour, guy with a Slim Jim poking at your window, it'd be worth $10 to get in your car, right? Wouldn't it? Because I could push a button and get you in.
And if 10, then why not 20?
Right. Come on. You can't put a price on getting inside your car. Hey, what'd you tip the valet? You know what I'm saying?
I like
Come
it.
Come on
so,
now.
I like it. So you want to take people at their most desperate hour and just taunt them, basically, is what you're
that
asking.
That or just ring them up randomly. How's
I
it going?
It.
How's the commute to work going?
How's traffic? Good?
How's that
All
going?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, man, how about them cubbies? You're making a run.
You should work for 911. That's what you should work for.
Well, that I think they monitor you. Monitor you a little bit more closely.
I see,
on that
you'd
one.
Have
but
to this, actually help.
Yeah. But this would be a separate gig.
Okay.
And I don't know what they do. What do they do? Sit in some big command post and
suppose.
Just stare at a phone?
Just wait?
Good gig, though, yeah?
Well, seems I guess. I think you'd be pretty bored, though.
Well,
not the way Adam does it. It'd be fun the way Adam does it.
Plus, you could get in there once in a while, like, hey, what are you wearing?
All right, we have to, take a break. AdamCarolla.com is the website. Adam is our guest every Friday morning on the Kevin DeBean Show. We'll return with This Week in Rage right after this. Adam Carolla is here. AdamCarolla.com. It's time for The Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, first, Adrena from the Hills. You've seen this bitch eating her pineapple burger on the beach? Yes. I was watching a little extra the other night. Mario Lopez wanted to know where she got that body.
Right.
Now, Tammy, be prepared to vomit.
This is Lisa.
It's Lisa.
Hmm?
Lisa.
What happened to Tammy?
Long story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen. Okay. You got ovaries, right? Be prepared to vomit and want to kill this broad.
All right.
All right. So here's Adrena. You've seen her in her bikini on the beach eating the pineapple burger.
She looks pretty good.
How does she stay in such fantastic shape? Let's listen in.
I'm always staying active, whether it's shopping or working or traveling.
Really?
She shops.
Shops, works, and travels?
She travels. She shops and she travels and she works.
And that's her workout?
By the way, I've seen her working. She lays on a beach and she eats a 9-pound burger.
That's her job.
That's why chicks want to kill each other.
Yep.
This is it. You want to take a sack full of pineapples and beat the bejesus out of this bitch, don't you?
Well, just that she doesn't have the common sense to say, I'm the luckiest person in the world, the DNA for my parents, whatever.
Touched by the hand of God.
Right.
No, I like to shop. That's how I stay in shape. Listen, I've been to the Walmart. I've been behind the huge asses. I couldn't kill these bitches. I was like, I eat anything I want. You know what? Before I go to sleep, I put a milkshake drip in me. Before now, all the chicks are like, I'm going to kill you. Shut up. And by the way, let's stop putting the mics in front of people that have nothing to say. Because obviously they have nothing to say.
Those are my favorites, though.
All right.
Because of this. I mean, we wouldn't have this.
Okay.
We wouldn't have the Hills, that's
all right.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Number two, another thing I saw on TV, they brought these commercials back. It's the Lamisil commercial. It's that little Noid. That little animated thing looks like Steve-O with, like, points on his head. Right. And he grabs your toenail. He grabs the toenail and he lifts it like the hood of a Buick and he dives underneath it. He's some sort of Noid that's going to affect your cuticles. And every time they show this little animated thing, lift the toenail. Yeah. It's like, my gums hurt. I'm like, I think I ruptured something. Like, the toenail thing is killer. And then you switch channels and you see the Mucinex guy. And the Mucinex guy, that's the phlegm.
Oh,
that's the phlegmy
yeah.
guy who lives in your lungs. He's green and he's hanging around in a wife beater. And he's like, hey, I've just found a new home. I'm going to pull out a Murphy bed and pop myself a soda. And I'm like, that's phlegm. That guy's a phlegm ball. And then his phlegm family moves into your lungs. And then someone starts coughing him out. And I thought to myself, it's dinner time. I'm watching TV and I'm eating my dinner. Really? I got to watch the phlegm ball and the Noid that's jumping under the nails? Meanwhile, by the way, no booze ads, no cigarette ads. No. Those could corrupt the youth of America. But this disgusting ball of phlegm, shouldn't we have some standards? I know you guys, you can't say any S-bombs or F-bombs.
Right.
But what about the ball of phlegm that's ruining my dinner?
That's a good question.
And he's in the white beater. And by the way, I know he's green, but he's a white guy. Make one of these guys black, just once. Not a cabbie from the 50s. All right. He's green, but he's white. You understand what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Number one, and this one has really got my ire up, Plaxico.
Plaxico.
Now you all know Plaxico's going in the joint.
Yes. That's
and he's going in for 2 years.
Explain to people the story of the dog.
Plaxico went to a club and he shot himself in the thigh. He essentially put a bullet in his own femur and he took himself out for the season. And now, a year or so later, he's judge has dropped the gavel and he's going in for 2 years. Now, first off, he shot himself.
Right.
Last time I checked, that's not illegal, shooting yourself. Like, we didn't arrest Ernest Hemingway, right?
I don't know about that, but probably
not. He shot
not.
Himself.
Okay, all right.
He's a free man today.
Okay, he's not...
White guy gets a free pass.
Well, no,
okay,
he's...
but he was committing suicide, though.
Okay,
that was very
listen,
different.
Listen, Bean, I don't need your semantics.
This was
point
an unlicensed...
is Ernest Hemingway, free man.
Well,
free man
but
shot
dead.
In the head.
No, but,
he
but
didn't
dead.
Even shoot the... Shot himself.
Right.
Did not 1 minute of time.
Didn't go to jail.
Because he was dead.
Did Bubba. did not do 1 second in jail. But a black man, a man of color, shoots himself in the thigh, and he's going to jail for 2 years.
Isn't
all right.
there a concealed weapon?
But
he took a loaded gun into a nightclub. What are you doing? That's a good defense.
Now
he's been spending too much time with his kids.
Now listen to me. First off, New York City is running at a deficit, second only to us here in Los Angeles
right.
and California, by the way,
right.
of $6 billion. That's billion with an M, okay? They need money. They need money. So they're going to take a guy who would put $5 million a year worth of tax money into the tax base and spend $50,000 locking him up in Rikers Island. Really? That's your plan. That's your plan. Take all that money off the table and dump it into a joint to a guy, by the way, who's already paid the price. He shot himself. There was no victims. And meanwhile, while he was heading into the joint, he was high-fiving the terrorists who was being thrown out of the joint for killing 270 people over Lockerbie. That had to be nice. Hey, what'd you do? I shot myself in the thigh. I'm going in. What'd you do? I killed 300 Americans. Awesome. Come on out. Come on down. What's happened? Oh, my ass hurts. That's so awesome. I'm going to head back to Libya, and I'll be brought home. By the way, I'll be like a conquering hero.
Yeah.
You know what we ought to do? By the way, it's not like the guy kicked the winning goal in the World's Cup. He killed 270,000 people. That's all.
I don't think it was 270,000.
207.
I'm just saying.
He took a lot of souls. He took a lot of souls.
That happened.
That's 1,000 with an M. You understand?
Yes.
Bubba. The point is, here's what we ought to do. All the people have taken to the streets. They're all celebrating. Hey, the terrorist is back in town. We should take Pan Am's mothballed fleet, load it up with C4, and just steer it right into that crowd. Just take a bunch of 747s. What? They're sympathizers, at least. I'm just saying, blacks... Plax is going in. The terrorist is heading out.
That's true.
It makes sense in any world you live in?
Not really.
Then ba-ba-ba.
All right. Ba-ba-ba is right. Thank you. AdamCarolla.com. This has been The Week in Read.
Very busy Friday, second half of the show coming up on the Kevin and Bean program here, including in just a few minutes, we'll talk to Rainn Wilson from The Office.
He's up for an Emmy nomination this year, and we'll talk to him about that and other stuff that's going on in just a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on, dude?
Sometimes I wonder who'll stop the rain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
He just seems like he's on such a tear.
Yeah. Yeah.
You always blame it on him.
Sure, I blame it on the rain sometimes. Have you seen the rain?
I hate you.
Is he here yet? Just wondering.
He's singing in it.
Come on.
Before I get to the showbiz news, I've got tickets to give away to The Final Destination. This is the final destination movie. That's what they're telling us. And it's in 3D. Oh, I like 3D.
Oh.
I don't know, go see it unless it's an IMAX in 3D. 5 winners will get a pair of tickets to the premiere of Final Destination. It's August the 27th at the Mann Village Theater in Westwood, California. The movie's in theaters August the 28th, but you'll be lucky enough to see it first if you're one of the first 5 callers to get through at 1-800-520-1067. That's 1-800-520-1067. The Final Destination. Coming to theaters near you. I promised you last hour we talk about Time Magazine's list of the 10 greatest electric guitar players of all time.
All time.
Ready for the list?
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, Prince. Prince, one of the 10 greatest electric guitar players of all time, according to Time Magazine.
If he's 10th, there must be a lot of talent on this list.
Yeah, because he's amazing.
Yngwie Malmsteen.
Oh, sure.
Legendary Yngwie Malmsteen.
I don't know who that is.
He is a Swedish guitar legend, Kevin.
Okay.
Les Paul. Dude invented it. Why not put him on the list, right?
Makes Hard sense. To argue.
Number 8. Chuck Berry. Number 7. Got to give it to the creator of rock and roll in many people's opinions.
Sure.
Well, I'd have to question what they mean by best then, because he didn't do anything that a 2-year guitar player couldn't do.
But he did it first.
He did it first. He broke give him it. Credit for that.
He cracked
that doesn't
it
make
open.
Him best.
He brought it to the peeps.
Not better than Prince.
for example.
Yeah.
But he's certainly a guitar legend, a god.
If it's most influential or most legendary, yeah, I can see that. But I thought we were talking about best players, people who are...
His riffs are still being used today.
Yeah, great songwriter.
We're saying no.
Look, no one loves Chuck Berry more than I do. I just question his place on a list like this.
What about Mrs. Chuck Berry? Does she love him more than you do?
I don't think she does, actually.
Jimmy Page was sixth on the list.
Okay.
Eric Clapton, fifth.
Yeah, Eric.
He's God, right? Clapton is God.
He is God, sure.
Right. I've heard it. Keith Richards, number fourth on the list.
Tremendous. Really? Is he tremendous?
Tremendous guitar.
Yes. Oh, great guitar player.
Third, B.B. King.
Okay.
B.B. King.
Yeah.
Second, Slash. Guns N' Roses Slash. Listed as the second greatest guitar player according to Time magazine.
I'm not feeling like Tom Morello is going to get the nod, which he should.
Tom Morello is not on the top 10 list.
That's a bogus list.
Wow. Number one, though, you can imagine who number one is.
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
That's right. Not Tom Morello. I told you not. Mm. Stop saying Tom Morello. Number one list.
Tom Morello.
Jimi Hendrix.
Sure.
Jimi Hendrix, number one on the list, of course. I thought it odd Eddie Van Halen.
How's Eddie Van Halen on the top 10?
How is he not on the list?
That's a good point.
Or Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's another example. So that's Time Magazine's opinion. Speaking of Jimi Hendrix, once again, another film producer is trying to get a biopic about the legendary guitarist off the ground. This has been coming and going for some time. Apparently, the producer of the Watchmen movie is trying this time. And he's running into the same stumbling ground the other filmmakers have. Jamie Hendrix, who is Jimmy's stepsister and gatekeeper for his estate, is yet to give anyone permission to use Jimmy's music.
I wonder why.
And that has always been the hurdle.
So there's never been a movie about him?
There's never been a Jimi Hendrix movie. Lenny Kravitz was attached at one time to star in a film about Jimi Hendrix, as was Andre Benjamin from Outkast. But no word on who will star in this film if they finally do convince Jimi Hendrix to give them permission to use his music, which of course
I'd like
would
to
need.
See Prince play him, by the way.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Prince may be a little long in the tooth now to play
Jimmy.
Yeah, maybe.
Since, Tyler Perry.
Since his hips don't work. He probably need hips to play Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
And Jimmy was like a tall, lanky dude, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was skinny and tall, I think, yeah.
Prince is a midget.
He is a midget.
Anyway, that's a movie I'd like to see, though. Speaking of movies, have you seen the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are? Legendary children's book by Maurice Sendak.
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
No, it's not out yet, Snoop. It's being made into a feature film. Spike Jonze is directing.
Spike Jonze?
I'm in if he's directing.
But the soundtrack sounds awesome, too. Karen O from Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She has written all of the music for this film.
Hmm.
Songs are credited on the soundtrack album to Karen O and the Kids. And the Kids feature members of her own band, along with guys from Queens of the Stone Age, The Raconteurs, and Deer Hunter. She got involved with the project, she says, to MTV News because Spike asked her to, and they were once a couple. I didn't know that. I didn't know Karen O and Spike once were together.
Oh, I don't think I knew that either.
Movie opens on October the 16th. If you haven't seen the trailer yet, hunt it down on the internet and find it because it looks amazing.
It does.
I do have one clip from the soundtrack. That's all that's been leaked so far. If you guys would like to hear some of that,
please. Yeah, I'd like a little piece, sure.
I don't see how that's going to fit in the movie, but that's what they say.
They sure sound wild, those things, though. Yeah. Don't they?
They're crazy.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Guy who started out with a big chain of chicken restaurants, I think, and then got into music at some point as well.
I think it was actually the
71 years old today. Serge Tankian.
Glenn Dale.
Of System of a Down is 42. Carrie Ann Moss. She was in The Matrix. You know what else she was real good in? Was Disturbia.
Yeah.
She played the mom. She played Shia LaBeouf's mom in Disturbia. She was like a MILF in that, I thought.
It was a good movie.
She's 39 years old today. Alicia Witt celebrates her 34th birthday. And Hayden Panettiere from Heroes, Save the Cheerleader. Save the birthday cake. She is 20 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That ain't no Etch-a-Sketch. This is one doodle that can't be undid, Holmes Gillett.
Rain is on a television show called The Office, and if you don't know that show, you're a bad person.
I sat at my desk all day with a rifle that shoots potatoes at 60 pounds per square inch. If I could menstruate, I wouldn't have to deal with idiotic calendars anymore. I'd just be able to count down from my previous cycle. Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Our first guest stars on the popular television program entitled The Office. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Rainn Wilson.
What does the female vagina look like?
Oh, can't wait for the return of the office. It's going to be Thursday, September 17th at 9 on the NBC. And, of course, look for Rainn Wilson in the audience of the 61st Emmy Awards coming up on September 20th. He'll be the guy applauding when Neil Patrick Harris picks up the Emmy. That's my guess. But we'll find out what he has to say about that. Rainn Wilson joins us on the phone back on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, we're good. But we were just looking at the Emmys, the 61st Emmys, and they are hosted by Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a shot.
And you're against him, yeah. But he's hosting.
He is. Do you know how buff that guy is? He's incredibly toned.
Right.
And Emmy voters love that.
Is that right? That's what they choose?
Yeah, I'm kind of schlubby and dumpy.
I don't know that I'd go with schlubby or dumpy. Yeah. I'd say doughy.
You seem like the kind of guy, Rain, who you've been nominated twice before and did not win either time, right?
Right. I'm going to be the Susan Lucci of comic character guys.
Okay. But you seem like the kind of guy who, when someone else's name is called, might just run up on the stage, steal the statue, and run. I mean, I could actually see you pulling that off.
I should do that. I really should do
that. We'll pay you.
If Neil Patrick Harris wins, I'm going to make this pledge right now.
Right.
I'm going to run up on stage. I'm going to tackle him.
Good.
And I'm going to steal his Emmy.
Yes.
Totally.
Is that a promise?
And then I'm going to go, Howard Stern, Howard Stern!
Ba-ba-booey, and then run off. Rain, I don't know if you're going to be able to answer this question honestly, but isn't the work enough? Does it matter whether you get awards or not?
No, I would love to win an award. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think it does too. I think it would be cool to win.
Sure.
How awesome it would be to have like a major award statue like on your bookcase in your living room. That would be so awesome.
I have one from Little League when I was a kid. But that
win any like radio disc jockey of the year awards or anything like that?
You are a funny guy.
That
may be the funniest thing Rain's ever said. Hey, there's a little bit of competition going on in Hollywood between the various shows. I'm sure you're aware of the campaigning that goes on, the behind-the-scenes stuff. I mean,
sure.
In some cases, it's a popularity contest as much as it is being rewarded for work. But there's some active campaigning going on. And you're, of course, aware of what the Family Guy has been doing toward The Office. You've seen that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Let me play a clip for the audience of Brian and Stewie discussing who they're going to vote for the upcoming Emmys.
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So, you figured out who's got your Emmy vote for best comedy? Oh, yeah, you know, I was thinking about voting for The Office. Really? 6 years in and they're still doing a documentary about that place? When's that thing coming out? Huh? And what kind of documentary follows you to your house?
Come on, it's a good show. Steve Carell's really funny. It's well written.
Yeah, that hurt? That hurt?
What the hell?
Yeah, that don't feel so good, does it? No, huh? That's what she said. Get it?
Oh, my God.
Eat shroot and die.
Eat shroot and die, they get to. That's awesome.
That's awesome. No, good. That's good times. I think they've done a bunch of, shots at The Office. I think it's – but that's what they do. I mean, that's what shows like Family Guy and South Park do. You know, that's what they get to do, and we don't.
Yeah.
The Office, as we mentioned, is coming back very soon, Thursday, September 17th at 9. I imagine you're already into the new season. What's it been like, Rain?
It's great. Unbelievable. We're doing all – I mean, it's the show is ridiculous. When we started the show, it was so small. I mean, it was just a couple of, handheld cameras and, a crappy sound stage and a bunch of actors. And, you know, we had a crew of, seven. And now it's like this – it's like a James Cameron film. It's gotten so big. It's ridiculous. But we're doing stunts and dance routines and all kinds of stuff. It's been great so far. It's gonna be awesome.
It seems to me, and I don't know how busy you are on the set, but it seems to me that you spend most of your waking hours tweeting these days. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I had a micro program inserted into my brain. I'm actually able to tweet. I'm actually able to think and tweet my thoughts.
Wow, that would be death for me. I would get taken right to jail. That's not good.
Rain spent most of yesterday, Kevin, debating healthcare with tweeters. I mean, that's how he spent his day, is arguing for the government in the healthcare debate.
Trailer, and they called me in 5 hours early, which they always do, and I was sitting in my trailer, and I was looking at healthcare stuff, and I was just getting so enraged. I was just sending out a missive of angry tweets all day long, and having it out with all the anti-national health care reform dudes.
Wow, you know how to live.
Yeah.
Do you like being able to have that one-on-one, real-time interaction with your fans?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, people say, oh, you spend all day doing it. Look, I have it on my phone, so I think of something funny, and I go, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, boom, send, and it's out. I mean, that's like...
C-Bean? C-Bean, what he does is he thinks of something funny, and then he types it. Bean?
Yeah, yeah.
Not funny, just he waits till something strikes him funny, and then he types it, Bean.
All right, I'm gonna let the audience be the judge. Here's my favorite Rain Wilson tweet from yesterday, okay?
All right.
This is a quote, Rain, and please stop me if I'm wrong, but this is the tweet I got because I'm a fervent follower of yours. Here's exactly what Rain Wilson tweeted. Boner, boobs, Paris Hilton, carbuncle, nutsack, Al Gore's butt, ferns, taint, booger, cop spanking cop, weasels, boobs, corn, karate. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Rain Wilson.
Come on.
Thank you very much.
That is the best use of
consciousness.
Best use of technology ever.
Yes. I tweeted taint, Paris Hilton, Al Gore's butt, cop spanking cop, all in the same tweet.
Wow.
And I would suggest you save that tweet because if you do win the Emmy, now you're halfway toward writing your acceptance speech.
That is my acceptance speech. Yeah.
Then I really hope you win extra.
The Office returns on September the 17th at 9 on NBC. And, of course, the Emmys are going to be on September the 20th on CBS. Man, I hope you win. The work you do as Dwight Schrute is unbelievable on The Office. You know we're big fans, and we always appreciate you coming on The Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thank you, man. Good luck.
Ralph is here with The Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
It's just an ass full of movies coming out this weekend.
You let us all down last week by watching three of the movies.
I apologize. I accept your scorn.
This week
and
you've
I've
seen...
corrected myself, and this week I've seen none of the upcoming movies.
Excellent.
And so I will proceed to review them and tell you what you should watch and not watch.
Okay.
Having not
based
seen
on
them.
Having not seen
okay.
them. Okay. Here we go. Shorts opens this weekend. You know what I need to do again? I need to try to get myself into one of those ads.
Yeah.
On the newspaper. You know, you see the newspaper, and they always have little blurb reviews from reviewers all over the country. Usually it's like the Saskatchewan Mercury News. I mean, it's like papers you've never heard of.
Right.
And reviewers you've never heard of reviewing movies, but they get their names in the paper.
But their names are tiny. The quotes are huge.
Right, but still, they're getting quoted
words.
In a newspaper.
I hear you.
I don't get that.
No, you don't.
I've been on a few DVD boxes, and
okay,
that's about it.
The key to that is to champion a bad movie because they can't use the name reviewers for those because they all hated it.
Right.
But if you're the one guy standing out there saying a movie is good, they're going to use you.
Right. Well, I don't know if people are liking Shorts or not.
Okay, but you have
no kids movie Shorts. But here's my review. Put me in the paper.
All right.
I'd love to take it in the shorts.
I don't think.
Wow. Yeah. I
don't think they'll. I don't see how they
use that.
I don't think so.
No? Drop your shorts.
No.
Ew.
No.
Is this a kids' movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Anyway, Shorts is about two brothers who find a magic rock and smoke it.
Really?
I doubt that. That doesn't sound right.
That's what I'd do if I found some magic rock.
Yeah. He's a lighter and a spoon?
That's right.
No. Well, they're not even reviewing the movie you haven't seen at this point. You're just making stuff up.
Apparently, the rainbow rock, you can wish on it and it makes junk happen for you.
Okay.
See?
Sure.
And kids love that. Kids love wishing on stuff.
Of course.
This is from Robert Rodriguez, by the way, who brought us Spy Kids.
Love him.
This is apparently a great movie for kids of all ages. And they are really enjoying it. So that's good for kids. Here's a scene from the film where two friends, Laser and Loogie...
Yes?
...are talking about what they should do with their magic wishing rock.
Loogie, we need to be smart about this. Then that's the answer.
Ready? I wish one of us was super smart.
It is I. My modes of transference are beyond yours now. I don't need words to communicate. Only thoughts.
That's a tiny little baby. See, I wish one of us was smart. And the baby happens to be in the room. He's talking to his friend, but the baby gets smart and starts telepathically communicating with them.
I get it.
It's a super smart baby.
Yes.
That doesn't talk. Which is good, because I hate those talking baby movies. So if you're a parent, Shorts is the film you're going to want to take your kids to this weekend. Also opening up this weekend is Post-Grad. Remember when Michael Keaton used to be a big movie star?
Yeah.
He was Batman at one point, wasn't he?
He was indeed Batman.
Yeah.
And then apparently he went into the witness relocation program and stopped making films at all. And he was one of my favorite actors. I always thought he was so entertaining. Remember Mr. Mom and
sure.
Night Shift?
Night
I mean,
Shift.
He had a stretch of really funny, entertaining movies for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared.
Where did he go?
He's back. This time he is co-starring with Alexis Bledel. Great. He's playing sidekick to Rory Calhoun from the Gilmore Girls. Rory Gilmore. She is a young girl who has to move back in with her parents after graduation from college.
Good times.
And her family's a bunch of oddballs. And hilarity ensues. See what I'm saying? Here's
sure.
a scene where Michael Keaton, I'm Batman, plays her dad in this film. And he's trying to convince his daughter, Alexis Bledel, to join his business.
Buckles.
Oh, Buckles. $1 million niche business. They're going crazy on the internet.
But, Dad, what about the luggage shack? They just made you regional manager.
You gotta think big picture here. You gotta have vision. You know what I'm saying? You just gotta see the... And since none of this other crap is really working out for you, more than likely, gonna need a vice president. VP.
You go out there and drum up some business. Come on, let's go out there and put some buckles on belts. What do you say?
Buckles.
Does not sound good.
Oh, it sounds great.
No, I mean, it sounds like a good movie. It doesn't sound like a good thing to hear from your dad.
No, not a good idea, no. Buckles. He's funny. Just the way he reads stuff just makes me laugh. Remember Night Shift? He kept talking into his handheld tape recorder when he had great ideas.
No idea.
Feed mayonnaise to tuna fish.
That's right.
X Games 3D the movie comes out today. I wonder what that's about. X Games 3D.
We had Danny way in, and he said it was one of the most amazing things he's ever seen.
Well, the X Games are amazing. Can you imagine seeing them on a big screen in 3D?
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
No, nope. You did not. Travis Pastrana, Bob Burnquist, Sean White. The list goes on and on for X Gamers who were seen in this film. Here's a scene where some of the athletes are talking about the X Games and how they feel about them.
It's just the whole event makes it bigger, so everything has to be bigger. You know, ramps, jumps.
Such a massive audience and big crowd, and it's our biggest event of the year. You have that inspiration. You get here and you feel it, and you're like, all right, I'm going to put it down.
I realize that I'm not going to take this amount of risk every single weekend, but gosh darn it, this is X Games. No matter if you're a show-off or not a show-off, this is your chance to show the world what you're made of.
Amazing athletes doing amazing things in 3D. How can you go wrong with X Games 3D, the movie?
Can't wait.
And the big movie of the weekend is Inglourious Basterds. Brad Pitt plays the head of a unit in the army that is basically the Nazi hunters, made up of all Jewish American soldiers who are out to get the Nazis. And what's not to like about that?
No kidding.
The evil guy in the movie is Lieutenant Hans Landa, played by Christoph Waltz. And here in this scene, he is lecturing on why he just doesn't like the Jews.
Now, if one were to determine what attribute the German people share with a beast, it would be the cunning and the predatory instinct of a hawk. But if one were to determine what attributes the Jews share with a beast, it would be that of the rat. If a rat were to walk in here right now as I'm talking, would you greet it with a saucer of your delicious milk?
Probably not.
I didn't think so. You don't like them. You don't really know why you don't like them. All you know is you find them repulsive.
I can't wait to see him die in this movie.
Yeah, no kidding. See that guy go down.
This looks like Tarantino at his top of his game. Just a lot of ultra-violence and spoofery and movie magic. And he just, when he's right, when he's got the right subject matter and he's in the right frame of mind, Tarantino is one of the most entertaining filmmakers working today. So
we talked to a listener earlier this morning. First thing we came on, who went to a midnight screening last night and said, great movie, don't take grandma.
No, it's not for the kids or for the elders. I think it's for folks who just want to go to the movies and have a good time this weekend. Inglourious Basterds in theaters today. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Kiss is in the news, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, the rock band Kiss.
Kiss? Are you kidding?
No, God. I love Kiss.
No one loves Kiss. Paul Stanley is sick of Kiss.
Whoa! Don't diss the star child.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night.
part of every day.
Well, there you go. Just part of every day. Gene Simmons, of course, is the lead singer of the band Kiss and joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now to talk out what's new in their empire. Hey, Gene, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Hello.
Where are you?
Right now, I'm actually in Las Vegas.
Oh.
I'm playing the slots right now. At least speaking of playing the
slots. Really? Already?
Already?
Nice meat slot, man.
Listen, the reason we wanted to talk to you, Mr. Simmons, is we heard your announcement last week about Kiss Carnival of Souls, which apparently is different from a concert. It's going to be an elaborate stage production that you're planning to put on somewhere in Las Vegas for Kiss fans around the world to come to.
It's true. I mean, I feel like we have a incredible presence here in Las Vegas, being the natural showmanship of a Kiss show and the extravaganza that it is with the pyrotechnics and whatnot.
Sure.
And basically, we're trying to kill two birds with one stone. We are expanding the Kiss Nation by all, and also we are injecting some wealth into a struggling city. Lisa May. Speaking of expanding and injecting,
right?
There's something in my pants.
Sure, I think we get it. Yeah. The quote is, Kiss Carnival of Souls is actually going to have a storyline, although not a lot of talking. You're going to see a basic story premise that takes place in four chapters. It will be presented visually, and it involves a journey through the imagination visually way over the top. Can you tell us more about
that,
Gene?
It's true. You don't want to get too cartoonish. I mean, the Kiss show already is a bit of a cartoon. It's a caricature. It's very over the top.
Right.
And when you introduce the aspects of Vegas, it's kind of extravaganza, a presentation that I mentioned before with animals and pyrotechnics.
Sure.
You don't want to go too far over the top and have schmaltzy dialogue. You want to really keep your poker face on. Yeah, pardon the pun, being we're here in Vegas. Speaking of poker face, I'd like to post your
face. Right.
Oh, gee.
You know, I actually already own and have some business interest in Las Vegas, so this wouldn't be something
new. Oh, I didn't know that.
I own a Gap.
Here. What?
Yeah, that's true. I own a Gap store. At least speaking of Gap.
All right, thank you.
So I'm a majority owner of the Pink Taco restaurant.
Don't even bother.
We can all fill that one in.
Yeah.
And an In-N-Out Burger, the one right. There, that's right off the strip.
Get that one, too.
Check that off.
All right, well, thanks for go ahead and just destroy all my jokes. I appreciate it. If you guys got any you'd like to throw by me?
It's been good chatting
with you, assholes. Okay.
Minutes away on the Kevin and Bean Show from director James Cameron. Kevin, have you already started thinking of questions? Are you all set for the rematch?
I can't wait. And if you folks never heard Kevin and Bean's original interview back when he was promoting the movie The Abyss.
I don't remember this at all.
Legendary underwater film. Kevin, once again, scored the scoop.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure I didn't mean it that way. Because he's an impressive guy.
Mm-hmm. All right. So what would you mean then by that?
But wait, let's just think about this. But okay. I'm not an impressive guy.
Right.
So I'm not the kind of guy who would go, oh, that's interesting. Like, there's no way I meant that insulting like it sounded, is what I'm saying.
When you open with, are you the guy who directed The Abyss, though, where's that? What's that starting
That
block?
I cannot defend. I don't know.
Where are you on the links when you're swinging the ball at the club at that ball? You're on the ladies' tee,
yeah.
Right?
Probably. I can't defend that.
Man, this lacks the feel of professionalism.
I agree.
I know it sounded insulting, but I would never insult a guy like that. He's super successful, and I'm me.
Right? And yet...
But I wouldn't, so I wouldn't.
You still didn't go as far as to find out that he was the director of the film.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Well, you get another shot at Mr. Cameron because he's joining us in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Kevin. So get ready.
Ralph is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat.
Would you like to take that back?
Yes. Yes, I would.
Did Michael Jackson have a secret gay lover when he died?
Huh.
You know, I love the Showbiz News shows on television.
They're
sure.
Like Access Hollywood's and the Entertainment Tonight's.
Unwatchable.
You can say anything about anybody as long as you pose it in the form of a question.
Yeah, that's true.
Did Michael Jackson have a gay lover when he died? The answer could be no, but you're not liable, really, if you ask it as a question, because then you're not just lying outright to try to get people to tune in after the commercial break.
I like that.
So that's what my new technique is. I'm going to steal from them.
The news does that as well. Can the chair you're sitting in kill you? Details right. To 9/11. The answer's no.
Are your children lying dead in a gutter somewhere? Gosh, I better stick around and find out. Did Michael Jackson have a secret gay lover when he died?
Did he?
What's that based on?
Well, there's a guy claiming to be Michael's boyfriend.
Sure.
He says he's been heartbroken since their short romantic love story ended tragically when Michael died of cardiac arrest in June. His name is Jason Pfeiffer. Now, here's the thing that gives it a little bit of credibility. He works for Michael's dermatologist, Dr. Arnold Klein.
Okay. So he had access occasionally.
He certainly had access to him. He would have interacted with the late singer.
Possible.
I've lost my soulmate, says Jason. It's hard to describe the loss I feel, but there is something that's empty in my heart and in my wallet.
Mm.
No, he didn't. I added that. It was a short romantic love story that ended in tragedy.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
He says he first became friends with Michael during a series of telephone phone calls, which evolved into secret late-night trysts in Jason's car when Jackson asked for a lift home.
Wow. Yeah. They know how to live.
Yeah.
When Jackson
I don't
asked
see Jackson do it in
home.
The back of a car.
He wouldn't do it. Yeah, why would he ask for a ride home?
I don't know.
What sense does that make?
I don't know. Anyway, it's just the latest freaky news story surrounding
it. It seems
Jackson.
Like he's the kind of guy that would have a limo or a chauffeur everywhere he went. He would have a driver.
Of course. Except for maybe this guy.
Plus, how do you have gay sex when you're wearing that surgical mask all the time? Wouldn't that get in the way?
It seems like
a dental dam. They asked Billy Ray Cyrus what he thought of his teen daughter, Miley Cyrus.
Working the pole?
Working the stripper pole at the Teen Choice Awards a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the strangest things I've ever seen.
And then they show him clapping.
It was deeply disturbing.
Right.
Her 16-year-old ass up on the stripper pole on top of an ice cream push cart,
yeah.
Grinding her naughty bits up against the pole.
I couldn't be prouder of her if she were my own daughter. Come to think of it, she is my own daughter. You're right.
I'm not really unfamiliar with the pole.
Yeah.
Here's what Billy Ray said. You know what? I just think that Miley loves entertaining people. She loves singing and songwriting. I always tell her to love what you're doing and stay focused on the love of the art and not worry so much about what other people say. So she loves the art of grinding her unit up against a pole.
Well, right. Dad. I mean,
don't get me wrong. There is an art to it.
There is for women that are 18 and over.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like maybe that's the father's role is to say, hey, if you like it, if it turns you on, go ahead and do it.
Stuns me that no one connected with that production at all. There had to be rehearsals, right?
Right.
Yes.
And it was
no one said, hey, is she on a stripper pole on top of that ice cream truck?
And it wasn't for her fans, it was for the Teen Choice Awards. It was not even like a concert of hers.
Right.
Teen Choice Awards. That was weird.
Very odd. Also odd is the fact that Bono and The Edge are still working on their Spider-Man musical. Just seems like an odd combination, doesn't it? The guys from U2 and a
yes.
Spider-Man musical?
It does.
Does seem a little weird.
Because the Spider-Man musical is something you expect to see at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not on Broadway.
No.
But they are still working on it, and here's the thing I didn't know.
They're touring, though, full-time, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're working while they're touring. Evan Rachel Wood will be playing Mary Jane Watson in the show.
So okay. Much better than the movie.
I was going to say, how can we not get her cast in the Spider-Man movies?
Yeah.
Bono says she is the one to watch in this production. She happens to sing like a bird. He said it's a true voice. She's a very pure spirit with a very bright mind, and she brings the part of MJ to life, really. Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark, is set to open on Broadway in 2010, so mark your calendars.
I don't have a calendar that has 2010 on it.
Why do we have Fangoria in the movies, and we got Evan Rachel Wood on the stage when
good
it comes
question.
To Spider-Man?
Fangoria!
We don't need that.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Hayden Panettiere from Heroes is 20 years old today. Alicia Witt celebrates her 34th birthday. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix is 39. Serge Tankian.
Glendale.
System of a Down is 42. And Kim Cattrall from Sex in the City. Remember, she was in Porky's? She was the one who got hot and bothered from the sweat from the locker room. Remember? She would get all nutty. Bang guys
one.
In the locker room. She was hot in that movie.
Remember when Andrew McCarthy wrecked her plastic
mannequin? Yeah, that's
mannequin
right. When she
makeup?
Was mannequin, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Psycho Mike's more turned on the idea of banging a mannequin than he is a live girl.
Very much so.
It's very disturbing.
Yeah.
Kim Cattrall's 53 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm looking ahead toward next week. We're still not talking to my guy with the jetpack, by the way. Where's that dude who's made another advancement on the jetpack, and I'm getting ever closer to my dream of being able to use that for my commute?
And our dream as well, which is that you're going to plant yourself in the ground on the first flight. I don't know, but... We have Rob Dyrdek next week. We have Marilyn Manson next week. We have Emil Hirsch.
Oh, I love him.
We have Luke Robitaille from Los Angeles Kings. Mm-hmm. We have Rob Zombie. We have all that. We have Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, Bean, quit your whining.
That's not enough for you? You still need the jetpack guy.
Whatever. We'll get him.
All right. First of all, I've been wanting a jetpack since I was in utero.
The Monday, we have Davey Havoc.
That's been my dream.
Davey Havoc, AFI. New song.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Look, I'm not taking anything away from the guests that we do have.
All right.
I'm just saying we've got a whole week of shows next week on the Kevin and Bean Show. None of them put me closer to my dream of flying a jetpack. That's all I'm saying. And the guy has introduced it. You know, he's made another advancement, another update on the jetpack where it's getting dangerously close to being something that's useful for me.
Right. But I don't know what to tell you. If the guy's not going to come on, what is it that you want me or us to do?
We have
Bobcat Goldthwait next week, for example.
Oh. Yeah, and his new movie looks great. I got nothing. I mean, that looks like a great interview.
We have Piers Morgan, one of the judges for America's Got Talent,
that's
on the program next week. Does he have a jetpack? He doesn't. No.
All right. Ahead of going to Mr. James Cameron to talk about Avatar, how about a quick revisit to the last time we spoke with Mr. Cameron? Do we have that tape up, please, Mike?
Nope.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Oh, my God.
I guess what I'm saying, Kevin, is stay away from that line of questioning. Are you the guy who made Titanic? Try to stay away from that sort of thing.
But is he? Because I'm not familiar with
yes, his he work. Is. All right. We're going to have him in 1 second. Have you been to the internet? Have you seen the trailer? Did you watch this Avatar thing yesterday?
I didn't see the whole thing. I mean, today they're showing 16 minutes of it.
Right. We're going to find out about that. But there's a shorter trailer that was unleashed onto the internets yesterday, and it does look unbelievable. I mean, everything that we've heard appears to be true about him creating an entire world from the ground up. I mean, the guy's a genius, let's face it, when it comes to stuff like this. And I just, man, if we could talk to him and talk to him about Avatar, that would be so sweet.
What you guys are aiming for?
Yeah, I mean, we could ask him questions, and then he would answer them. Yeah. All right, there he is. We got him now.
Avatar Day is today. Let's find out what it is and why it's already sold out before you heard about it. The great James Cameron joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Cameron, thanks so much for talking to us. How are you today?
How you doing? It's been a while since I've been on the show.
It has, yes. It has been, and we appreciate you taking out the time. It must be so bizarre for you to work on something so hard and for so long and now have it actually be getting close to being unveiled to the public.
It's a little spooky. You know, the thing that's scariest about movie making is that eventually you do have to show it to people.
Right. And so the longer it takes...
They don't owe you, and they don't owe you. And if they don't like what they see, you're dead.
So the longer it takes and the more money it costs, I imagine that would add pressure to the, boy, I sure hope people like it.
Yeah, except, you know, first of all, I've always had faith in this film because, you know, I'm basically a geek fan at heart, and this is a movie I was kind of making for that 14-year-old kid in the back of my mind,
right.
You know, that loved fantasy and science fiction. Still, obviously, I still do. But as a you know, kid in high school, I was reading every damn, you know, fantasy, otherworldly story that I could find, reading comic books and so on. So this is really just the culmination of that for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wanting to share that with, you know, with other people. And, you know, of course, the highest grossing films of all time are, I think, 19 out of 20 of them are all fantasy and science fiction. So I got to assume there's a lot of other geeks out there like me.
Sure.
Huh. Isn't it interesting that the one that's not the fantasy or science fiction is freaking Titanic that you made? How about that?
Yeah, that is quite bizarre. Bizarre for me.
Now, tell me this, because, you know, we've seen, you know, we've had reports for years about the progress of this film, and one of the themes in all of the articles is that James Cameron had to wait for the technology to be invented in order for him to put on the screen what he saw in his mind. Explain that to me.
Well, I think that's been true, you know, of, let's say, The Abyss or Terminator, but in those films, we were right on the cusp of a breakthrough. And that film, within the making of that film, let's say, you know, The Abyss took a year, Terminator 2 took a year. Within that year, we were able to push to the next level and come out with something brand new that people hadn't seen before. So I wanted to do the same thing when I wrote Avatar 14 years ago. I wrote it before I even shot Titanic. It was going to be my next film. And everybody told me we're not close enough to do it within the time of the film. So So I had to put it on hold. But then I start seeing things like, you know, Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings with the Gollum character. So
right.
there's photoreal CG, you know, a humanoid character. I should be able to do Avatar now.
In layman's terms, then, is that what you were waiting for, is being able to seamlessly put on the screen things that aren't real with people and actors that are real and make it look great?
Absolutely. That's absolutely the goal. You know, we knew that, I mean, sure, we had all these different fearsome creatures that live on this planet. We knew that could be done. But the closer you get to human, the more dangerous it is, because people are very, very analytical about human behavior and speech patterns and eye movements and all that. So we needed to be 100%. You couldn't fail on this.
How do you have the patience to wait that out, though? It seemed like a lot of people tried to make a movie like that and kind of failed during the learning process, and you just said, no, I'm going to wait. How did you do that?
They probably should have waited, too.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how you do if you have an
because
idea.
Because he doesn't have to work. That's how, Kevin.
Like I was sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring that the technology was ready. I was out building stuff myself, like the 3D camera systems that we needed to make this movie. We were out proving those over a series of expeditions that started in 2001 and went through 2005. And the second I finished that last expedition, I started on Avatar. So for me, it's a kind of seamless track over the last, you know, kind of 7 or 8 years leading to today. It all sort of makes sense. It doesn't make sense from the standpoint of people who are kind of reporting on entertainment, because they just see a big divot
right.
between
That's right.
Titanic and now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you've been busy. Now, one of the things that the main thing that elevates a great summer popcorn movie to a classic movie is the story. You can have all the special effects in the world you want, but if you don't have a compelling story or interesting characters that are well told, you're not going to get anywhere with it. What do you have going on in Avatar that you're excited about in terms of a storyline?
I think you're exactly right. I mean, people don't really give a dang how it's done as long as it looks great, and then they're just going to want to go on the ride. And in this case, the ride takes you to a planet called Pandora, which is another world sort of conceived in all its detail, every plant, every creature, every landscape. And you go with a guy named Jake Sully, who's played by Sam Worthington, who's a newcomer from Australia. People will recognize him from the fourth Terminator film that was out recently.
Right.
You go with him. He's a vet who was injured in combat, confined to a wheelchair. And when he goes to Pandora as part of the Avatar program, he's able to project his consciousness through a machine into a biological body, a physical body, a genetically engineered body. It's not like going into the Matrix or going into some cyberspace world. And as in his Avatar form, he gets to live and be whole and be kind of a man again, except, you know, he's 10 feet tall, he's blue, he's got a tail, and, you know, has a head like a kind of a blue lion, if you will.
Well, there's negatives to everything.
it's funny because, I mean, we tried to make these aliens kind of cool enough looking that people could, you know, project the fantasy of wanting to be like that.
Right.
You know, as opposed to a really off-putting design with, like, kind of a lot of slime and gills and things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, by the way, and I'm sure you, if you didn't see the 60 Minutes piece, I'm sure you're aware of the technology, that the scientists are getting very close. In fact, in some respects, they have figured out a way to let you control machines and things outside of your body with your mind. I mean, your vision of this future is really not that far off on this world.
No, I think we all appreciate that that's sort of where we're going as a society. We're technologically, we're trying to figure out ways to project our consciousness into our technology, whether it's into a gaming universe, whether it's into a Second Life type universe, or whether it's controlling remotely controlled machines. We fight our wars by remote control with unpiloted aerial vehicles. You know, I've spent hundreds of hours flying vehicles underwater by remote control that are, you know, on the end of a fiber optic tether.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you know, it's the whole telepresence mentality, and it's going to be even more pervasive as we go forward.
This is the voice of James Cameron on the phone, Oscar-winning director of Titanic, now back with a new movie called Avatar on December the 18th. Now, that's a ways away, but today is Avatar Day. What's that all about, James?
Well, what we decided to do, we had such a great response at Comic-Con showing 25 minutes of the film to, you know, diehard fans down in San Diego. and in 3D on a giant screen. I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe the public, maybe the first glimpse they get of this movie should be in that same kind of format. So I said, I said to Fox, let's see how many IMAX theaters we can get to go along with us, and let's put this thing out there to the public. We'll actually show them scenes, not a trailer, but part of the movie. And this has never been done before. It's a new idea. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but we certainly sold out quickly enough because they didn't want to have like big crazy lines stampeding at the theaters. So
right.
They wanted to do it with reserved tickets.
So if this sounds great to anybody, sorry, unless you already have tickets, it's sold out. How do you pick the portions of the movie that are going to be in it?
Well, we want to not do major plot spoilers, but we want to give you enough grounding in the story that you understand kind of what an avatar is, how the deal works, get you out into the environment, let you meet some of the creatures and some of the kind of the because Pandora is both simultaneously this kind of terrifying, very threatening place, and at the same time the most exquisitely beautiful place, you know, you've ever seen.
Right.
So, you know, we wanted to give you a glimpse of both and let you meet the really kind of the three main characters, Sigourney's character, Sam Worthington's character, and Zoe Saldana plays an alien warrior girl or hunter girl, and you meet her in the forest, and she's amazing. I think, you know, once she's in the story takes off like a rocket sled.
Beautiful. Listen, I know we're almost out of time. Will it be 2023 before we see another movie from you?
No. Well, I mean, I probably will do some other expedition projects, but, you know, it took me a few years in that world of science and exploration to kind of, you know, get some street cred as not just some dumb Hollywood puke who is kind of hanging out, but that somebody that could make a contribution. I don't have to go spend 10 years generating that credibility again, so I can bounce back and forth between expedition projects and feature projects. So
at some point, you have to just want to put a camera on two guys in a diner having a conversation, right? I mean, you need to make it a little easier on yourself eventually.
I'm finishing a film and I think this is madness, why have I gone through all this, blah blah blah, but then when I think of the next project and something that will excite me enough to want to go make another movie, it's usually some big damn thing.
Alright, that's just how you work. Alright,
the film is called Avatar. Look for it the week before Christmas. James Cameron, we don't talk to you nearly often enough, we're huge fans of yours. Thank you so much for coming on the Kevin Abine Show.
Hey, it's my pleasure always, and let's talk again before the film comes out in December.
Fantastic.
Sounds great. Thank you, sir. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank cool. you. Bye. So tomorrow, by the way, if you're not going to Epicenter, you can watch it online.
Oh, that's awesome.
Our own Psycho Mike's going to be hosting the webcast.
Oh,
yeah. Interviewing bands.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out.
And rocking.
And rocking.
Well, still
they're showing
it.
They're showing all the music from both stages all day long. Tool not included. I mean, that's a pretty good deal through KRock.com, right?
It is the world famous KRock at 9:33.
All right, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat coming up again in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, the Afro line is on the air for you. We have set up an answering machine at 323-520-AFRO. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel, by the way, is the one who named it and got us that phone number. So it's in tribute to him that we go to your calls now.
I have the fear way down in Mexico. I have the fear and had to go behind the tree. I got the fear
all right.
way down in Mexico.
Fear. You do not want that.
No.
People hear about the fear, they do not forget it.
No.
And if you've not been with us before, the fear means you got to go, and you got to go now, and you got to go wherever you are.
You know this song?
Would you like to take that back?
That one there.
Yeah.
Inspired
yeah.
this dude.
Tell me where's the dollar low? Tell me where's the dollar low? Because who goes up and go goes down and makes the dollar low? Tell me where's the dollar low? Tell me where's the dollar low? Because fluctuation in the market makes the dollar low.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, that was a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
I feel your scorn and I accept it.
This dude's calling us from Vegas and blaming us because he can't sleep.
What's up, Kevin? What's up, Bean? This is Ryan. Staying at the Hard Rock right now. Had a long couple days of partying. Just want to get some sleep so we can leave early in the morning. And the Kings of Leon just finished their concert and they're bowling in the room above us. And they must have 400 people in their room. So I'm not sleeping tonight.
I'm not sure. I mean, we don't rent out the rooms at that hotel. I'm not sure what you want us to do about it.
I think he just wanted to complain to someone that the Kings of Leon were upstairs, and he wasn't.
Gotcha.
And he wasn't there, unfortunately.
Right.
And you know us. If people make a request, we always, always try to fulfill it.
Yeah, we need some more Nate Dogg McStrokey. That was awesome.
When I met you last night.
All right.
boys leaning.
It's good to see him out there trying.
You know, man, my teeth are all bad.
That's not.
Because you gave me honey puss.
What, huh?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Almost finished. Kat Corbett will be up next. She's got that new one from Owl City that everyone is requesting. The latest from Pearl Jam. And the new Muse coming up on K-Rock. Right now it is 9:42.
It is Friday. Ralph has our final look at the showbiz beat before we head into the weekend. What do you got for us?
Looks like Paula Abdul has talked herself out of another gig.
Paula Abdul does not want to work.
Was supposed to do an arc on Ugly Betty. That had been the rumor. She was in negotiations with producers to play the role of Helen, which was Mode Magazine's newest office temp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That role has gone to Kristen Johnston of Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh.
Much better choice.
I think so. Apparently the deal became a no-go due to Paula's insane list of demands, says one source on the set.
Awesome.
Apparently she was asking for all sorts of special perks.
Do you have those details?
I do not have a list.
Is someone out there listening that may have access to those details?
That may be possible.
Yes.
So we'll have to wait and see. But Paula, once again, out of work.
Look, she can't be that upset that they decided to go with an actress instead.
That's true.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but she doesn't really have a grasp, it doesn't seem, on reality.
Warner Brothers has announced they're remaking yet another movie. This one's one of my favorites, actually. This is a little-known film that I just loved when it originally came out, and I've seen it a ton of times since. It's called Outland.
Outland.
Starring Sean Connery.
I don't know that one.
And the basic premise is, if you've ever seen a movie called High Noon, an old Western called High Noon.
Mm-hmm. I do.
With Gary Cooper.
Yes.
It was a premise where this guy knows these bad guys are coming to town. He's the sheriff of this small town. And he tries to enlist the townspeople to help him defend the town, and they all sort of shine him on and say, nope, not my problem, you're the sheriff. So he has to face these guys alone, knowing pretty much at noon when they show up that he's a dead
down.
Man.
All right.
So they took that premise and they translated it into space. And Connery plays a space marshal on this mining planet.
Okay.
And he has to defend the planet against these bad guys, and everyone else is sort of on the take. He's the only honest guy who's working on the thing. Great movie.
Okay.
They're remaking it.
Again. Okay.
And but once again, it'll be set in outer space, and it'll be fun.
Cool.
There's one remake I'm looking forward to seeing, because the first movie sort of got ignored. And I think it's a great premise, and I think it would do well.
What if Sean Connery is going to star in that?
Sean Connery probably won't be in it, since he's 11-y.
Yeah.
And he's probably not too happy they're remaking one of his films, too.
Yes.
So maybe sometime next week we can talk to Sean.
Yeah, that's what I was heading for.
See how he feels about it. You guys fans of Kids in the Hall?
Yes.
The Canadian comedy group?
Mm-hmm.
They were sort of Canada's answer to the Monty Python troupe, I guess.
Sure.
Five guys. Dave Foley was one of the members, of course. Kevin MacDonald, Mark McKinney, Scott Thompson, Bruce McCullough. They have gotten back together again to do a new series in Canada called Death Comes to Town. Apparently, it is a comic murder mystery series, and it's set to air on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company. In January in Canada, but there are plans to show it here in the States, too. So that's good news for new kids. Not new kids.
New Kids on the Block?
New Kids on the Block fans, yeah. What's up with Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt?
All bad.
You know she's going to be performing live in the Miss Universe pageant.
Excellent.
And she is there in rehearsals and not making any friends.
When is that? She's already making enemies?
Yeah.
When is that? This weekend?
Yeah, sometime
yeah,
this weekend.
Yeah, sometime this weekend.
Saturday, Sunday?
New York Post says that she's scheduled to perform at the event this weekend, but has missed almost all of the rehearsals.
Well,
a performer
like her. Right,
a performer
like her.
They're in the Bahamas, but she's not showing up to the rehearsals. And now Spencer's demanding they pay him as well.
For what?
For just being there. Just for laying by the pool.
What?
Because he's her quote-unquote manager?
I guess. But the manager, if he is the manager, he should take 10% of whatever she's making.
That's right.
But he wants a salary as well.
What are the chances that
is insane? They're cheesing off people at the event.
What are the chances they'll just say thanks but no thanks? That would
none,
be awesome.
None.
Really?
I think they're locked in now at this point.
Guys, it's so funny, and this is what's great about Spidey, is most people would want, I don't know, a little bit of a softer opening than the Miss Universe pageant, something that's going to be seen in 150 countries for a big, like, big-time television live singing debut. You'd think you'd want to, I don't know, warm up with some smaller gigs.
Or at least rehearse.
She doesn't need any of that.
She's
I guess not. She's the best. She's the best there is.
Look, we're doing our part. They wanted to come on our show again. We said no. No thanks. Nothing to say. Don't like either of you. No thanks.
We've done it. We've done what we're going to say.
Right. We already said
it. We don't like you, and you're sham and you're bogus. And he says, keep talking about me. And then that was the end of it.
So we're out. But depending on how her performance is this weekend, we may be forced to talk about it again on Monday. Because I think she will fail spectacularly.
Yeah. Especially when she has to, if she has to really sing.
Well.
No.
Think she's going to lip sync?
Yeah, it's probably a track. So why would she even show up for rehearsal?
That's true.
I would guess. Oh. You're not going to put her on live if you ran
Maybe
the show.
Maybe how to learn to move your lips to the words that are coming out of the track.
That'll be awesome.
That
she'll be completely
be
off.
Also. Just ask Ashley Simpson.
Doesn't even, Brittany doesn't even bother most of the time to even try to keep up with this, the record.
All right. I've just been handed this update to the Paula Abdul story.
Okay.
Thanks to our crack support staff here on the Kevin and Bean Show. One of the items on the list of demands, we don't have the entire list of demands that Paula Abdul made of producers of Ugly Betty. One of the items, we know for sure, two words, private jet.
Oh, come on. Seriously?
That's what this story says, according to
really?
EntertainmentWeekly.com, EW.com. Gave
doesn't
us
she live in the same city they film that?
I believe.
Well, what does she need a private jet
I
for?
I believe they may film in New York.
I think they film in New York.
I think they film in New York.
But
she lives in Los Angeles.
So. Wow.
First you class
tell
isn't good
how else is going to get there? How else is she going to get there? Private jet.
100 flights a day? Awesome.
And lastly, celebrity boxing is back in a big way. Just announced today by the CBF, the Celebrity Boxing Federation.
Which doesn't exist, first of all.
Which does exist. They've got a website and everything.
Yeah.
Rodney King is getting into the ring with a former cop. And what they're calling the battle for justice.
Mm. I don't want to see Rodney King fight a cop.
No.
I don't either.
Because, I mean,
he's a former cop.
All right, but he's trained in fighting.
He was.
We saw that once. It wasn't fun.
He's an amateur fighter from Chester, Pennsylvania, former cop named Simon the Renegade Awad. He will take on Rodney King in the Squared Circle September the 12th in Boothwyn, Pennsylvania. Is this a pay-per-view? I hope so.
Is the cop allowed to use a piece of iron?
Yeah, they're going to give him a billy club.
A baton?
They're going to give him one of those long mag flashlights. Here's the thing. The cop's 6 feet, 115 pounds. Rodney is 6'4", 250.
Yeah. 115?
I'm sorry, 215. 6 foot 215 is the cop. 6'4", 250 is King. So he's got the height
sizable
weight advantage.
Difference.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's been out of rehab for less than a year.
He's
I'm
been
sure
training
he's
to prepare for
shape.
This battle, Lisa. Okay. I take this very seriously, Rodney said. He's been training.
Wow.
Producer Alex, we would like to speak with Mr. King again next week and find out what's up with this fight. Because look, I don't know what they're paying him, but it better be a lot for him to subject himself to this indignity.
They asked the cop, Simon Awad, what his view was on Rodney's famous line, can't we all just get along? He simply answered, Simon says no. See, because his name
it's
is
on.
Simon.
Yes!
It's
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Come on.
So he said Simon says no.
Could they not get Mel Gibson and a rabbi on the undercard? I mean, come on, let's just go for it.
These are the people who originally started with Bonaducci, I think. That's how this whole thing all started.
Oh, that's
these
the
are
group?
The guys who produced those fights. And you know how good those were.
Yeah. Those were great.
Bonaducci just fought Robert Shapiro, by the way, not too long ago.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Robert Shapiro was the defense lawyers for O.J. Simpson.
Ah, yes. The lead.
He's got LegalZoom.com, you know, that Robert Shapiro.
Gotcha.
I think
he's got to
be
in
his 60s.
60s.
Yeah. I think he's like 67, 68 or something.
Then Bonaducci, who makes me look tall, fought Canseco.
That's right, yeah.
Who's a mountain.
Who's a horrible fighter, by the
right.
way. Got lit up by a sportscaster in Philadelphia. Some time ago, Canseco did. But I think Canseco beat Bonaducci pretty well.
I think he did, yeah.
So this is the level of celebrity boxing we're talking about. Wouldn't see me and Hugh House's Hugh Laurie in the ring.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big moneymaker. I'm going to become like the Floyd Mayweather of celebrity boxing.
I don't see that.
Me versus House.
I don't see that.
I guess they use the cane. I don't mind.
I'd like to see that.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Hayden Panettiere is 20 years old today. Alicia Witt celebrates her 34th birthday. Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix is 39. Serge Tankian, assistant of a jazz singer, is 42. And Kim Cattrall, who is probably best known as Samantha in Sex and the City. And before that, she was hot She's 53 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On Monday morning show, we are going to have some new music from a little band called AFI.
Oh.
And we're going to talk to Davey Havoc on Monday as well.
All right.
It has been an awfully long time since AFI. I mean, they've really been in the studio a while, so I can't wait to hear what they come up with.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
There are some men here to see you from the FBI.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The FBI!
Come on, had to do it.
Roll another one.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Just like the other one.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
Seems to be about to quit.
You're gay.
And I need another gay.
Everybody say hey.
Hey.
Oh. Oh. Everybody scream.
Sir, you're too fat.
Roll.
Did you ever have one of those days? Oh, that's funny.
I don't have another cent.
Trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table.
But the one guy that joined
dominated.
Just pass it around.
Pussy.
That's tempting.
Armenian pride, huh? Lendl.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
Well, you're just in time for what might be a very unhappy ending.
Well, that was a hard one.
It's only going to get harder.
That's what she said.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. I see you next week at this time. Will my insurance cover this?
I'll sign off now before I start to cry. May God ride with you. 10-4. And goodbye.
Well, I will see you Monday.
I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
Peace out.